much about.
You gotta put it in the perspective.
How did he talk me into this? I hate documentaries. I hate being on documentaries. I hate answering questions. Anyway, all right, what do you got? Let's begin the unpleasantness.
Is that what we're going to call it?
Yes,
today?
Let's begin the unpleasantness.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G. Ah!
Tarnowski, Tarnowski, Christopher Crossley, and Childers ringing around the boards trying to kill off a little bit of time. Flynn and Tarnowski working with it. Tarnowski gets it behind the net. Tarnowski, you guys leave for Flynn. Flynn scores! Natalie Flynn! Good morning! Good afternoon! And good night, Minnesota! Natalie Flynn, the captain, with a multi-goal game! I have lost my voice in excitement! The Terriers take this one! 6-5! In the overtime!
And now...
You have tried masturbating. It's very relaxing, and it's not fattening.
Our feature presentation.
I love that sports announcer.
Yeah.
I think he was into the game, guys.
You think? I always love it when announcers just completely lose it. Mm-hmm. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin Abicho. It's Thursday morning. It's the 24th of August.
Oh. It's two-thirds Christmas Eve.
Oh, Bean.
It's exciting.
I mean seriously. We're not
even,
doing Christmas.
Even I can't.
We're not. Come on, Chip. Come on back. Where are you going?
Hey, you're being funny. There's no Christmas.
Well,
anymore.
When you said it
there's
was
just, there isn't.
24th,
there isn't. There's just it's, not. It's yes. not. It's not a thing.
Allie, I want to know your reaction because the way you've been going lately, like you refuse to believe, for instance, that Guns N' Roses is a hair band.
Yeah, because they're not.
You refuse to believe the most played song on K-Rock the last 15 years was All My Life by Foo Fighters. You just
because that it
was
just isn't.
Just incorrect information. So when you looked at your Powerball tickets last night, in your mind, did it go like this? Well, the numbers they picked are wrong. They're wrong. Those aren't the right numbers. They screwed up.
Well, that's just silly, Bean.
Don't be ridiculous.
Of course not. Of course not.
Oh, how did you react?
Well, once I found out that the winner was in Massachusetts, I sent all my cousins a text and said, I love you guys. I hope you're having a good sleep.
Haven't heard from you in a while, but just want to say hi.
I'll be back there for Thanksgiving. Just want to say hi. Yeah.
Just in case.
And yeah, I actually posted something on Instagram and one of my cousins wrote, oh, I forgot to buy a ticket. I'm like, all right, Katie's out. So what's up with that, first of all?
You don't have to be nice to Katie anymore.
Yeah, Katie's done.
I bought 10 tickets because I realized that you have about a 50-50
no,
shot of winning.
No, don't do it. Don't
that's
do
what
it.
I heard. Please I heard that math like on the Kevin Abicho show.
It's like 50-50, so I bought 10 tickets.
If you had bought 20 tickets, you would have been guaranteed.
Right. Probably, yeah.
Right? So that's sort of a bummer.
Oh, dear.
Stupid Powerball.
The dumbest.
Although, you know, when the jackpot gets that big, even the you don't get all the numbers prizes become big. You heard there are 3 tickets in California, all of whom won almost $900,000.
Did not hear that.
Yeah. One of them was in Newport Beach. That's the closest one, I think, to Southern California, where we live.
And there's a $1 million winner in California.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. All right. So, in other words, even if you don't win the big one, check your numbers.
Yes, for sure.
I think that's the takeaway. All right, well, here's an interesting business idea. We may have talked about something like this before, but I thought this was fascinating. This is a first-person report in Bloomberg Businessweek. His name is, and I'm terrible at pronouncing, especially Japanese names, Ryuichi Ichinokawa, I want to say is what
he's
he
probably
is.
Right.
Yeah, sounds good.
He has a business called The Heart Project where he rents you people. That's what he does.
What?
He said there's something in Japanese culture about people's excessive concern for appearances and how they are seen by others. And often there is this idea that there is a single common sense and nothing else. These are his words. Sometimes it's just plain vanity that leads people to us. It's not always life or death. Some guy will tell his parents that he has a girlfriend, and then he panics because he really doesn't. So he has a business where you rent parents, girlfriends, friends, party guests, whatever you need, you go to him. Which is kind of brilliant, I think.
It's
right?
kind of brilliant, but it's
so
also
sad.
When I
look,
started...
you're
going to
be playing my parents. They hate me, but you just know that you're my parents just for the night.
By the way, parent stand-ins are $275 per person for an event.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
You can hire people to attend weddings. You can hire people. Of course, it's a little extra if they have to give a speech, if they're playing like the best man or something like that. He says about 20 to 30%
to hire a best man.
Wow.
See, you guys are looking at the downside. Yes, I'm looking at the upside. Sad. This is a genius business plan. About 20 to 30% of the jobs are for weddings. The next big one is stand-ins for parents and introducing parents to a prospective spouse. That's another 30 to 40%. Clients are typically in their 20s to their 40s. I take every job with the understanding that we're only doing it once. So you can't, like, rent a girlfriend and then call her up, you know, the next day to rent again. When I started, I planned on doing this alone, a father role. He's 52 years old, by the way. He said, I'll rent myself out as a father for people who are raised by a single mom and stuff like that. Then people started asking for a woman and for younger people, for a man in his 60s. So I posted a note on my homepage to hire people. He has over 100 people now in this business. He originally started a website offering people counseling by email. That's how he got started. And then that's how it kind of grew out of that. Somebody said they needed somebody for a wedding. And then he started this whole business. I just think this is genius, by the way. People who come to us often have no one else to ask. We are their last resort. There are many times where I ask myself, what will happen if I don't help this person? Maybe it will just result in some short-lived embarrassment, or perhaps the damage will be deeper, rippling through their life, he says.
Take it easy.
Getting very deep. So anyway, I'm just saying, I don't know that something like this works in America.
I mean, we have escorts.
Right. Yeah, but isn't that more, I mean...
Here's the thing. If I'm paying some dude $250 to go to a wedding with me, I'm getting good service.
Right.
Know what I'm saying?
Sure. He's coming home with you.
That's what I'm saying.
That's not just for the family.
No.
I understand. Yeah. Anyway, so that's the Heart Project in Tokyo, if you're interested. There you go. No telling whether they'll fly here, but there you go.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Back up, you creep. Get away from me.
On today's show, we have great news.
Excellent.
The first time.
Well, you're in control of it.
Doesn't always mean it works.
It's very true.
Dr. Drew's on the show today. Who watched it?
I did.
Bean?
Did I watch the staff of Tyler, the Hollywood medium, research everything he needed to know about Dr. Drew so he knew exactly what to bring up?
Said on the show that nobody knew, things he's never talked about.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, we got some highlights, and we'll talk to Dr. Drew, and maybe we might have to dismiss him from the program.
I mean, we might have last to.
Time. You guys!
He's lost the ability to rationally think.
Well, he even said that at the beginning. I'm cynical. I believe in science. I'm not going to believe this.
But what did he say at the end?
He believed, and he was very calm, and it was a very beautiful moment. Oh, and I think you guys can learn something from him.
That kid's talking to dead people. How else would he know that I had prostate cancer 5 years ago when it was on CNN?
Well, that... Obviously. But there were other things that...
Allie.
Come on, though.
But wait, Dr. Drew was impressed that the kid knew that he had that surgery.
That made me kind of go, true.
Right.
We all knew. Yeah, right. That part made me think,
oh, my God.
Okay.
Dr. Drew has triplets. No one knows that. Come on, Allie. Get
it
together.
No, there were certain things...
I'm seeing multiple kids. I think two. I'm not sure, but I'm seeing multiple kids. We have triplets. Oh, my God.
You're cherry-picking the very...
Are we? Or are we accurately recounting what was on the TV last night?
Well, yes, but...
All right, well, look...
Dr. Drew's final appearance is going to be today on the Kevin and Bean Show.
We're going to let him get... We're going to have to cut him loose. I'm sorry.
Right. Nothing we can do. We're going to talk sports with Jim Rome. We got the Cavs-Celtics trade.
Kevin, you don't even know about the Dodgers game last night.
John Jones in D.C., I saw a highlight of that.
It went from ugly to just, oh, no.
Heartbreaking. Yeah. Heartbreaking. Yeah. So sad. We'll talk to Jim about that, too.
And also, of course, Mayweather-McGregor, and we've got your pay-per-view. We have James Vanderbeek in studio. He's got a TV show called What Would Diplo Do? And it's very funny. And that's it. Okay.
Well done.
Thought there was something more, but all right.
Okay.
We got tickets for Jim Jeffries as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Kevin, you haven't heard the story of Allie going in for a mani-pedi and leaving in an ambulance yet.
I've not.
Pretty serious.
Excited to hear the details coming up. And apparently Dave almost got married in a mani-pedi one time, too. So
wow.
Got to find out both of those on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:54. It is a Thursday morning. Allie's in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, if you're just waking up and you're running to your computer to find out the Powerball numbers, go back to bed. But keep the radio on, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Unless you bought your ticket in Watertown, Massachusetts, because that is where the one winning ticket for last night's jackpot, that's $758 million, was sold.
Wow.
One ticket is a winner. One. Mm. That's incredible.
It's the largest jackpot ever won by a person, because when we had the one other bigger Powerball jackpot, that ended up being split three ways.
Oh, wow. Well, you can also check your ticket because there were 2 million match 5 winners in 6 states: Connecticut, Illinois, Louisiana, Pennsylvania, and the U.S. Virgin Islands, and $1 million winners in 19 other states, including California.
I matched two numbers. What do I get for that?
I think nothing.
Really?
Really?
That's ripoff.
That's the most I had was two also.
Yeah, same with me. So sad. Such a bummer. Did a part of you really think this could be it? At any point?
Sure.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, you sort of think, yeah, of course not.
Mm-hmm.
But what if?
Right?
And that's why you buy a ticket, is because you think you might win.
Yeah. And of course, they had all the news crews doing the, what would you do if you won? I'm like, just re-rack the story from the last lotto. It's the same people doing the same thing every time. But I respect it. Remember when I told you about Justin Theroux and how he didn't land that gig on Friends because he overslept?
Yes.
His wife has a very different version of what happened. Jennifer Aniston tells Elle magazine that, quote, he didn't want to get on a plane. He didn't want to live in California. And he was a total New Yorker with no intention of moving.
Is that right?
So it sounds like he actively went out of his way not to go to that audition. Not just, oh, I overslept. But wow, life would be so different if he did, wouldn't it?
I mean, I guess.
Not really. At all.
I'm fascinated the afterlife that series has had.
I know.
Friends, there's a story about Friends every day.
It seems like it,
It's insane.
Yeah, wait till the reunion.
Right?
Oh, don't even say that. Don't even say that.
Oh.
I also can't, look, I was fine with that show. I watched it some when it was on, not a lot, but some. It was fine. I can't imagine sitting down and watching Friends now. It seems so unbelievably dated.
You don't think it holds up?
I mean, to me. But apparently it's huge in syndication, so a lot of people are still enjoying it. I'm sure, like many great shows, there are new people that, you know, discovering it all the time. It's probably going to be on TV forever. But I don't know. It just seems like another place, another time.
My friend recently tweeted, hot take, was Friends even that good? And people were just...
went crazy.
How dare you? Yeah. It was not good. This is from the Maybe We're Gonna Be Okay file. Ratings for Keeping Up with the Kardashians have dipped to 2 million viewers. They used to come in around average 10 million at their peak.
Right?
So,
wow.
So I think we're on the right track, you guys. Keep at it. But
you don't think I feel bad?
Yeah, you should feel bad. But you 2 million that are watching, I mean, get your life together. That's just pathetic.
Kevin, during the Tyler the Medium, Hollywood Medium show last night, you see all the promos for the Kylie Jenner show?
No, I was fast-forwarding through that. Yeah.
Let's talk about some birthdays. Vince McMahon from the WWE is 72 today. Steve Guttenberg, the Goot.
The Goot.
The Goot. He's 59.
He is currently on Billions. Got a big arc on Billions.
Ballers.
Sorry, yeah, Ballers. The other B show, yeah.
He does play a very rich man, possibly a billionaire.
There you go.
Dave Chappelle is 44. Actor Chad Michael Murray is 36. Actor Rupert Grint is 29. And Anjay Kopitar from your Los Angeles Kings is 30. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the Showbiz Beat.
Another day, another chance for you to perhaps go to a SoCal Hot Topic location, pick up the brand new 2017 K-Rock Summer sticker, enter the password at krock.com, and win an unbelievable amount of prizes, including front row tickets to see Green Day at the Rose Bowl. Oh, and to have the band swing by and play in your garage, too.
Oh.
Hey, Dave, you're here. What are we doing about people without garages?
Well, what happens, Bean, just to get behind the scenes a little bit, if you do not have a garage, they find a comparable space near your area. So
you could take it to a friend's house or...
Yeah, they'll find. They'll work
Promotions
it
works it out, so you get a little private show.
Oh,
but
awesome.
You know that should be off air. So.
Plus a $500 Hot Topic gift card at a 2017 Honda Civic LX. Get the sticker again at the Hot Topic and fill it out on KROQ.com. Good luck.
What if my garage doesn't have electricity? Will they run cables into the house? How will they do that?
It's just more off air stuff,
you guys.
Okay, sorry.
We can take care of this all when we're not on the air.
Sorry about that.
Right.
What if I have a doctor's appointment on the day that
right?
Okay.
Then your friends have a good show.
Hey, I don't know how it came up yesterday, but somehow the topic of mani-pedis happened off the air. I have never had a mani-pedi in my life. Never have I had my my nails professionally attended to.
Well, that's sad.
But apparently it's a thing that even increasingly men are doing.
Absolutely.
Not You're missing out, dude.
For men. Am I really?
Does
it feel good?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've heard your story.
Well, maybe a little too good. Here's how it started. Dave said, "My girlfriend's out of town. Al, you want to get a mani-pedi with me?" Actually, he said mani-patty. And I'm like, what's a patty?
By the way, Dave spells it that way, too, mani-patty.
Well, that's the way it's spelled, but...
It's patty.
Oh, no.
P-E-D-I.
Yeah.
Oh, God bless him. But my response was, oh, no, I can't get mani-pedis where you go, because you would probably go to one of those places. It's a little cheaper, quicker. People are all just lined up.
Right.
And he's like, what? What are you talking about? And I said, oh, I'm deathly allergic to something that they use.
Oh, no kidding.
And I found this out in high school, and I was going to go to prom, so I was getting my first set of acrylic nails. Big, big deal. She got through three nails, and I thought, I don't feel right. Something's wrong. So I got up and went to the bathroom. The next thing I knew, I was on the ground. So I fainted in the bathroom, hit my chin on the sink on the way down. It was a bad situation.
Wow, you almost died. Yeah. What a way to go. That would suck.
Awful. So,
three of my fingernails look good.
That's the worst part.
Let me press pause for one second. Mm-hmm. What is in the low-end mani-pedi shop that isn't in the high-end? Aren't they using essentially the same sorts of materials and chemicals on?
I can't go to places that do acrylic nails. I have to go to actual spas that don't do any of that, which tend to be super expensive, and stink. They're the worst. But cut to, my mom picks me up. She brings me back the next day thinking, okay, maybe you hadn't eaten, you were hot, something. Pass out again. I'm now done.
Now it's
funny.
Next day, your mom's bringing you in, and everybody's like,
here she is. Yeah.
Are you sure you're not just allergic to Vietnamese food, maybe, at the place?
No, not at all.
Okay, all right.
Cut to probably 15 years later, I see a place, and they said, oh, no, we don't do acrylic nails here. We don't do that. Come on in. And I was getting a pedicure. And I thought, okay, this is great. Awesome. Next thing I remember... an ambulance. I came to in the ambulance, and they're like, how are you? And I'm like, what? What happened? I apparently had like a little seizure.
Oh, my gosh.
And there was a nurse in there, and she's like, call 911. So I had to get checked out, everything. They're like, you are completely allergic, whether it's the acrylic, something. There's something that you smell, and your brain just goes, nope.
Is that the only thing that you know of that you are allergic to by smell?
But it happens if I smell paint, if it's something...
Oh, that's a shame. Paint smells great.
Something chemical in it that I just get
Kevin
woozy.
Kevin takes a whiff every morning on his way out of the garage.
He's a huffer.
I do.
Yeah. So I said, we can't go to one of those places, Dave. And then Dave's eyes lit up at the memory of his last time going
in. What happened, Dave?
Well, first of all, I kind of got like... my girlfriend introduced me to mani-pedis, and they're awesome. So I went on my own... And I sit down, and the guy's like, what would you like? And I pick the basic one, and he gives me suggestions. Like, you should get this. I'm like, all right, cool. So when I pay for it, it ends up being like about $95, $100.
Isn't that way expensive?
Yes. I mean, I guess I chose everything. But what I chose was like a massage, some treatment on your feet and your hands.
Like a callus remover.
Yeah, like hot gel and stuff like that. But... during the massage...
That wasn't gel.
Yeah.
Right?
During the massage, first of all, it was two guys working on me, which was fine.
One cup?
Yeah. But during the massage, the guy starts massaging up my leg, and he starts looking at me. And he's like, you like? And I'm like, yes. Yes, it feels right? good. And I'm looking away. Yes. I'm trying not to get eye contact. And all I can think right. about is Allie and her dentist. Like, gee, where do I look? And he's just going, he's like going hard at it. And he's like,
yeah.
Feel good? Feel good? I'm like, yes, stop it. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
It feels good.
It feels so yes. good.
Yes.
Now, David, at some point, it would run through my mind that we have always learned that there are two kinds of massage places.
Mm-hmm.
They're the quote-unquote legitimate ones.
Oh,
and then
Dave
the,
went to the wrong one.
Then the massage with release, as they say. Did it occur to you that maybe that's where this was headed? Is he was like kind of checking out your interest in taking it in the back?
Well, you know, first it was just the guy.
The back room.
I mean, first it was just the guy going up my leg, but then the guy in the hand starts going in on me, and I'm like, oh, dude, whoa. I'm getting double teamed.
Yeah, you were.
And they keep saying, do you like, feel good? And I'm like,
yeah.
Yes,
I do.
In the place, and I'm like, okay, what do I do? And then at some point, I just gave in and said, yeah, it all feels great. And
was, dude, I yeah. think to me, it sounds like $95 was a bargain.
That's what I'm saying.
Right? You're lucky you didn't get pregnant.
Yep.
Ow. I feel like that's kind of rough to listen to in the morning.
Ow.
106.7 K Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes after 6.
Highlights of how Dr. Drew got probably swindled out of a lot of money by that Tyler, the Hollywood Medium kid.
Dear.
Swindled and hoodwinked.
Definitely
hoodwinked. We'll hear that tape coming up in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, do you have the big echo? Are you ready?
Yeah, sure.
First, though, it's time for great...
Oh,
why wouldn't you stop?
I wasn't expecting it to work.
Why would you stop halfway through?
Because it never worked.
It did.
All right, one more time.
All right.
It's time for great news...
I just hit the theme.
What?
Hit the theme.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. Yeah. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news! You guys, Do you guys mind if I go first this
no.
week?
No,
go ahead. Please.
I love this story so much. And the whole point of great news is there's a lot of bad news. And every once in a while, it's nice to be reminded that there are great people in the world. And I love this story. Right now, the World Series of Little League is going on. And there have been some wonderful stories coming out. At that level of sports, maybe you guys think this. Kevin, you might disagree because you had kids that went through youth sports.
Right.
And you know how awful some of the parents can be.
Yeah, they can be
but
terrible.
But sometimes people just stand back and go, hey, it's a game and it's supposed to be fun and it doesn't always have to be about winning. And there's some wonderful stories coming out of the Little League World Series. For instance, only one kid on the team from the Dominican Republic had his parents there. So all of the Mexican team parents stepped in and went crazy for the Dominican Republic. They filled the stands to root on the DR.
That's pretty awesome.
They didn't have family, which is awesome. There's a wonderful photo that went viral last week of two little kids. One is from the Dominican Republic and one is from South Dakota. And they're leaning up against the side of a trailer and they're having a conversation with each other through Google Translate. They're talking to one another on their smartphones, which is just a beautiful, beautiful story of two
dorks,
people
right?
No, they're very
what?
Sweet.
Oh. Beautiful.
And my favorite story of the whole tournament is Venezuela defeated the Dominican Republic 3-2 on a two-run walk-off triple by a little guy named Omar Romero. It was a huge win for the Venezuelans, but a crushing loss for the Dominican Republic and their pitcher, Edward Uceda, who had been nearly unhittable during the tournament. He pitched a complete game and then lost it with a walk-off triple. He collapsed sobbing on the mound. Aww. And who rushes from the sidelines out to comfort him? But the coaches from Venezuela, they come out. They're the team that just beat him. They come out to the mound and comfort him and wipe away his little tears. And then when they do the handshake line, all of the other players were shaking his hand and hugging him and telling him what a great game he played, even though he had lost. The coach said afterward, Edward has a big heart. It was sad. It could have happened to anybody. That's the coach of the other team. Rather than screw those kids, we beat them. And I think that's a wonderful, wonderful story. And that's why I selected that for this week's Great News.
That almost worked.
Almost.
Why are you in here, Omar?
Hey, I have some great
Oh, wow.
Come on, Kev Dog.
Sorry, try it again.
I have some great news.
Nailed it.
I do. One of Allie's favorite artists leaked a little preview of her new record.
Really?
I know she says, right? Like, this is like probably, I know Adele's your favorite.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But this is the Catch Me Outside Girl.
Oh, how dare you,
and this
you,
is
Omar.
The best.
No.
She's
Omar.
That's great news.
No, that is the opposite no, that of is what
absolutely
this segment is, Omar.
Great news.
Oh, I hate you. I hate you. I refused to do that yesterday in showbiz, so you just snuck it in there.
I was trying
you
desperately.
Are awful.
All right, Allie, you want to go?
Fine. Get out of here, Omar. I don't even want to look at you. It's no secret. We don't do right by our
you
veterans.
Have to start with the thing.
Oh, this is great news.
Okay, good.
What I was saying is we just don't do right by our veterans that come back. That's not a secret. We need to do more. Well, one veteran has taken it upon himself to do more. This is an Air Force veteran. His name is Donnie Davis. And he found out that there was a 277-acre campground that was going up for sale in Franklinville, New Jersey. So he bought it and then launched a GoFundMe campaign to raise money for a tiny house community that would nurture vets with PTSD back to health. So you know those little tiny houses?
Yeah.
He was going to build those all around there, and then they would live there for free. They would get, in return for housing within the community, they would help take care of animals, the grounds, and gardens. And then at the same time, they would be provided counseling, social, and medical aspects to take care of
them. This is for little people?
This is for veterans returning with post-traumatic stress syndrome.
But you said houses are tiny. The houses are
tiny.
Not the people.
It's a movement.
Not
tiny houses.
I
yeah.
see. Okay.
They're going to live on all these acres in these tiny little homes and have all of these services provided to him. And the GoFundMe campaign is still going. He has reached $200,000 of his $500,000 goal. But an amazing story
that's
of a veteran that, helping out other veterans.
It is sweet that they get a little built-in community, a little bit of help. I mean,
yeah.
They did fight for this country. It would be nice if they got a full-size house. But, I mean, this is nice what they're doing, too.
Wow. I mean, we should just call it great news until one of you S's on it. Jeez.
All right, and finally, Kevin, you're up.
I have great news until somebody S's on it.
That's the name of this feature now.
It's a news report. You see the video, and I'll post it in a minute, but you see the video of a woman and her two kids walking into a jewelry store.
Mm-hmm. A mother of two walks into this Dallas area jewelry store ready to part with something dear to her heart. Bills are due and mouths need to be fed.
It seemed like she was sad and there's a tear in her eyes.
Noah says this woman was trying to sell a gold necklace given to her by her mother.
I let her tell me how much she wanted to sell it, and I gave her exactly what the money she wanted.
Noah not only dug into his own pocket to give her cash, he gave back the necklace.
I didn't think about it. Just I grabbed the money and gave it to her.
The woman, astonished, embraces Noah, wiping tears from her eyes.
If I had her number, I'll call her back and see if she needs more money or if she needs more help.
Now, by the way, this guy, you see the back of his head because he doesn't want to any acclaim for it. They
yeah.
won't. He won't give them his name.
Aww.
And he doesn't want to be shown, but he does an interview with them about it. And here's the next part.
What you don't realize, Noah is a Syrian refugee seeking asylum with his family after escaping their civil war embattled homeland. He shared this clip with one friend back home, never realizing it had become a viral video.
I feel better. That's enough. Better than a lot of money.
Noah says he was just trying to help out someone who needed a hand, crediting that kind of generosity for getting him and his family to America and keeping them alive.
It doesn't matter what religion you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. This is our humanity. Everybody should do that.
In Dallas, I'm Jeff Paul, CBS 11 News.
So, you know, Noah didn't want to reveal his name or his face or how much he gave that woman also, but he says he wouldn't mind meeting her again just to see how she's doing.
How about that?
Noah.
We need to build a wall.
No!
Good
Lord.
And that's great news.
Look, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but we got to run this Tyler, the Hollywood medium, out of the country, right?
I don't think so.
I mean, he can do what he wants to do. We got to run Dr. Drew out of the country.
Oh, man.
Let Tyler make a living, but get pull Drew out of there?
Come on. What's happening?
Drew is the voice of reason always.
Yes. He says, as a matter of fact, he said at the beginning of his episode last night, he was one of the featured celebrity guests on the Tyler of the Hollywood Medium show. He even came out of the gate saying that.
I'm a skeptic. I mean, I'm a physician. I'm a scientist, and I need evidence. But my wife, Susan, is friends with 24 psychics, and so we rarely are without psychics in our life. And I've had many, many, many readings as a result.
What's going on at their house where she's friends with 24 psychics?
I mean, really, if there's one psychic that's talking to the other side, why do you need the other 23?
That's a great question. Let's mark that down because we're talking to Dr. Drew an hour from right now. Let's keep track of all these questions that we have for him. All right. So Tyler, Allie, how does he talks to the dead, but he also can, what else does he do? Is that all he does?
I think he just talks to the dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. But a lot of the stuff that he talks about wasn't about dead. It was about people in their life, like their kids and things like that. So it's not just the dead. He just sees a person, touches a thing, and has a feeling about what's going on in their world with people that are close to them, I guess. Here's how Tyler explains what he does.
You know, I always like to kind of explain my process. You know, I'm primarily clairvoyant. So when I interact with people, I basically kind of get these very subtle impressions that I have to take and interpret. So basically, I just kind of communicate what I see, feel, and if I didn't do this every day, I wouldn't believe it was possible. It's like I'm the most skeptical-minded person. So
I'm skeptical, too, and I'm trying to figure out what it is.
Right.
One thing I don't think is happening is I don't think psychics are talking to dead people.
Dude! Dr. Drew changes his tune by the end of this interview.
By the way, I would just like to point out that this dude is probably not the most skeptical. As he's the one that's talking to
dead. That's true. That's a good point.
Right.
Tyler asks for an object of the person that he is going to be channeling.
Do we have any other objects for me to hold on to? Awesome. Give it a shot.
All right. So Dr. Drew hands Tyler a watch from his late father.
I have to talk about this man that's insistently coming through because I immediately have to go to brain with this. Like I'm referencing a hemorrhage of some sort. He's having me acknowledge like a brain bleed.
He had a brain bleed.
Okay. So that would be him. There would have been a passing in family that would have happened right around Halloween in October.
That is my father,
nice.
Morton.
Okay.
He died a few days before Halloween of an intracranial bleed. You said hemorrhage specifically, and it was a hemorrhage.
Wow. And there would be some reference to an appreciation for his professional work in Illinois.
Yes.
So where's Illinois?
Okay. That's where I was born, too.
Yeah.
So I definitely feel like I have to acknowledge that, but I'm also concerned about an older man. This is talking about the living person, yeah. I'm thinking. Yeah.
Okay, so let me just stop right here and suggest that when your clientele is celebrities that you're going to be interviewing on TV, Tyler says he doesn't even know who's going to be interviewing. Until they open the front door, he has no idea who the person is. But doesn't his staff have all the time in the world to research that person? Couldn't you pretty easily find out that Dr. Drew's dad died last October?
That's what I was thinking. Google could have pretty much accomplished what he's accomplished so far.
I mean,
so skeptical.
Allie?
So skeptical.
You think this is real?
There are things that he said in this episode that I was like, all right, come on. You definitely could have Googled it for sure.
That wasn't one of them?
That was.
Drew's dead. Okay,
absolutely.
It was. Okay.
But there were other things that I thought, oh.
Same, but
yikes. How does he know that?
Yeah.
I also don't know what the thrill is for people to have somebody come to your house and tell you things you already know. Even if they really do have a connection with the other side, if they're coming to tell me that my dad died of a brain hemorrhage in October, again, that information is not useful to me.
Well, that's not what he's telling him. He's going to tell them something else about him. Maybe they were holding on to something. Maybe they felt guilty about something. It's things like
that he tells them. That's a universal. Everybody feels bad when a parent passes. So you just say,
everybody wants to know they're okay on the other side. And anyone can say that to make you feel better because there's no evidence to counter it. There's nothing that anyone can come back with and go, Tyler was just making that up about your parents being happy on the other side, because he can just say whatever he wants.
But correct me if I'm wrong, he didn't say anything about Drew's dad other than telling him what Drew knew already.
No, he did.
Didn't he pivot right to somebody else that was living?
His brother, yes.
Yeah, he's talking about to Jack in this clip, right? Dr. Drew's dad's brother.
There's a reference to Jack that I need to mention, and there's a health thing. In addition to that, there is also susceptibility for Jack with prostate cancer, and you have a susceptibility to prostate issues.
I have prostate cancer.
again.
Okay, that, I mean, that you don't even have to Google
yeah,
that.
Everyone knows that for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that, right. All right, now Tyler's getting some other feelings here.
This was driving me nuts. I wasn't sure what this was on the way here, but I was getting reference to twins, but it's not twins. So I don't really know how to interpret that. There's a reference.
Do you want us to help you?
Sure, yeah, that could.
Now, Kevin, do you think at this point, don't jump in and help, right? Tyler's getting a feeling about twins or multiples, let him figure it out. Is that what you were
saying? By the way, you can also Google very easily that Dr. Drew has triplets.
And he talks about it all the time.
He talks about it all the time. But the problem is, yes, Bean, don't jump in and help him.
Yeah.
Because basically he's just throwing out ideas and then you fill in all the information. How does that help anyone?
I mean, what we've learned so far is that Tyler listens to Loveline. That's essentially my takeaway here. All right, more on the triplets.
We have triplets.
Triplets. That would be along the same lines. There's a male with a D name that I have to highlight. Male, D name, male, yes. D name, me. So who's the male with the D name?
Related yes. Triplets?
Yes.
We have one of those.
Okay.
Douglas.
We have a male with a D name.
Do you know who had to get the neurosurgery? Like, it was a child who had to get a brain procedure or a procedure on the head that went fine.
Well, Douglas had one.
Our son, Douglas, had brain surgery.
Okay, and was totally fine after this. Fine. And like, it, this looks
which
like,
is rare.
When he was 13 months old.
Okay.
All right, now that's a little deeper Google dive. But again, even if it's amazing and he's pulling it out of the air, it's still stuff Dr. Drew already knows.
Yeah, that was also my thing, is that he's not adding to what Dr. Drew knows.
Well,
he's just telling him things that already exist.
He talked about the connection between Drew's dad and Douglas and how close they were, more so than the other kids, and Douglas knew the exact second his grandfather passed. How would he know that?
I don't know.
Oh, boom.
No,
I don't, real quiet.
I didn't see that part.
It was on the episode.
I didn't see the exact second he passed part either, but I mean, I do think that it's easy to say, wow, your grandfather sure had fun with his grandkids. I mean, again, that's a pretty easy stab because it's mostly true.
Him specifically, though, out of triplets to pick one favorite.
Okay, but one of your grandkids has brain surgery?
Oh, no, absolutely. Okay, I wasn't talking about that part.
No, but I'm saying, so it makes perfect sense then that maybe there's an extra connection where he felt like he almost lost him or whatever. So that, I'm saying it's an educated guess.
All right.
Maybe. Look.
We think. We don't know.
Dr. Drew, at the end of the episode, was clearly blown away and trying to, he said he's going to spend a long time processing what he's heard from Tyler.
I'm just shaking my head because we're accustomed to being around people with the skill set you have, and you're ridiculous.
Oh, thank you.
Ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I find it calming. It's hard for me to believe that he's talking to dead people.
He's talking to dead people.
But if he is, then I don't know what it is.
Well, we talked to Dr. Drew in an hour. Another thing I want to ask him is this segment on television is 7 or 8 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. Did they sit down for an hour and they just edited out all of the misses, all of the fishing that Tyler was doing of things that just didn't pan out?
Well, you left stuff out of
what?
This segment.
Oh, you think,
I'm just saying you left
you
out
think
all
the clips that Bean pulled were. Are...
I think this is fake news. I think you specifically left out the stuff that Dr. Drew was completely freaked out by. But it's okay. I see what you're doing.
Well, you can ask Dr.
Witness.
You ask Dr. Drew about that stuff. We'll see what you two come up with when we talk to him next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hello, NOC's alternative rock. This is the world famous K Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
A lot of shows still coming up, including Jim Rome on sports just after 8, and our friend James Vanderbeek back on the Kevin and Bean Show, part of a very funny show called What Would Diplo Do? You know he created that show and writes that show, too.
I did not know that.
Not just accident. I mean, that is unbelievable. Very funny. That's coming up, and also we have another free pay-per-view for Mayweather-McGregor for this weekend as well. Allie's in for Rob with the show. Please be on a Thursday. What's going on?
I'd like to give away some tickets to see Jim Jeffries. Huh?
All right.
Yeah, this is for his show September 16th. It's happening out at Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza. It's the Fred Kavli Theater. Is that right? Kavli?
Kavli? Sure.
Kavli.
Sure.
It's out in Thousand Oaks. Really mm-hmm. pretty. Left side of the street as you're heading down. It's a really nice area. But it's a pair of tickets to Jim Jeffries' The Unusual Punishment Tour. You are going to get two tickets for September the 16th. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com. And if you're not doing anything Saturday, he's also playing at the Terrace Theater in Long Beach. But these tickets, September 16th, out in TO. Give a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Caller 10, you are going to get a pair of tickets to see Jim.
I don't think we can oversell what a fantastic and hilarious comedian he is.
Yeah, he's great.
You'll have a great time.
The best.
Jim Jefferies says no.
No, but Jim, we're selling you. We're saying you're the best. You can't.
Jim Jefferies says no.
I mean, you can say no, but it's incorrect.
Jim Jefferies says no.
All right, let's move on. Remember last year when FXX aired 600 episodes? It was a marathon of The Simpsons over 13 days.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Comedy Central's like, get me a piece of that.
Okay.
They announced yesterday that they're going to do a massive South Park marathon.
Oh.
254 episodes, that's 20 seasons, will air over an 8-day stretch starting on September 6th, leading up to the season 21 premiere on September 13th. However, a few of those days are going to have a 30-minute break because they're still going to air The Daily Show. But other than that...
Wow.
All South Park, all the time, starting on September 6th.
It's unbelievable that show is still on.
20 seasons worth of shows. That's absolutely insane. But if you think about it, 254 episodes of South Park, Simpsons, 600 episodes.
Yeah, they got a long way to go.
That's nuts.
Yeah, both are.
Both are.
Right.
We also talked yesterday about the Joker origin movie. That's in the works. It was announced. Well, we also found out that there's reportedly a Joker Harley Quinn movie in the works as well with Jared Leto and Margot Robbie from the Suicide Squad. They're going to be in a movie that's apparently a love story, a criminal love story, and it's by the guys that made the film Crazy Stupid Love. So, do we need that?
I don't know. I didn't sense a lot of love on Suicide Squad.
I think she was the best part of it,
yeah.
Harley Quinn. So maybe, I don't know, do one for her. Why does she have to bring the Joker into it? Because that relationship isn't great.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah, well, there was also supposedly the sequel, which was going to be called Gotham City Sirens, starring Harley Quinn, Catwoman, and Poison Ivy. So that might have changed a bit, or there might be two completely different movies coming.
I get the idea that Marvel has their movies mapped out in advance, and DC is kind of winging it.
You think?
What do you guys want to do next? They're just sitting around in a conference room going, I don't know, what would be good?
Margot Robbie was pretty good.
Yeah.
Maybe.
All right, let's
do that. Yeah. Maybe it's a bit more involved than that, but I think you're on the right track right there. Hey, stop me if you've heard this before. There's a new pilot about a plane that disappears from radar and then returns 5 years later after being untraceable and presumed lost at sea. Did you get so excited it was about a missing plane?
Well, I hope it is about the Malaysia Flight 370, and I hope that it does return after 5 years missing. That would be awesome.
That would be incredible. Exactly. Yeah. Well, this is a new series that's being shot, being set up by NBC called Manifest. But Robert Zemeckis is behind it, Romancing the Stone, Back to the Future, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Forrest Gump. He's got a pretty good track record. We will see about that show.
Where is the plane, by the way? I mean, seriously.
Bean.
Come on. It's been ridiculous. It's ridiculous now. It's like 3 years.
You're never going to know, Bean.
Well,
until
it comes back in 2 years.
Right.
He really did drop that, though. He went heavy on that plane for a long time.
Long, long time, yeah.
The trail went cold.
But you didn't have to go cold. You could have kept up your...
Oh, he started cold.
Look, I still have a Google alert on it. It's just not coming through anymore.
Good. Good stuff. All right, you guys. All of these stars are celebrating their birthday today on August 24th. We've got L.A. Kings center Anje Kopitar. He is 30. Rupert Grint is 29. Comedian Dave Chappelle is 44. Steve Guttenberg, 59. And WWE's Vince McMahon is 72. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Did we send the right guy to Las Vegas?
Oh my God.
I thought you were going to say wrong guy, and I was agreeing with you.
Okay. Did we send the right guy to Las Vegas to cover the Mayweather-McGregor fight? Because Beerbug is there. I guess he's going to be involved in some of the press lines or whatever. And he left yesterday after the show. And we got an Afro call from him at what time this morning?
I think it was 4 o'clock. I think it was about 3 hours ago.
Hours ago, Beerbug, who we sent to Las Vegas to work, leaves us this message on the Kevin Bean Afro Live.
Listen here. It's Beerbug, and I'm in the first night in Vegas, and I'm already lost $400.
Uh-oh.
I hate gambling, man. But I love it, but I hate it. But I never learned my f***ing lesson, man. What the f*** are we doing here? What the f*** am I doing here? I need to make this money back.
No!
Why do I waste money on gambling when I could spend it on food?
Ooh.
Seriously. I love you.
Says, I love you at the end of that message. He's not even been there 24 hours.
No.
Down $400 already. Yikes. That's someone's dad. Hey, speaking of Beer Mug, we got talking about this a couple of days ago. Beer Mug briefly was an Uber driver. And if I recall correctly, didn't he decide to take on a part-time job as an Uber driver to try to figure out a way to pay back some of the debts he was into with his bookie?
Yes.
Yes.
His gambling debts, yes.
That's right. That's why he needed another job. And he essentially, he gave it up.
I mean, he did it about 3 days.
Yeah.
And not in a row either. Like and once and then like a week and a half yeah. off and then right. once.
Well, he had to swim.
I forgot he was swimming. But Beer Mug told us that his, if I remember correctly, his very first day as an Uber driver,
yes.
he had a passenger, a lady, if I recall, who vomited in the back of his car.
Yeah. Yep.
And that, what, cost a couple of $100 or something, I guess, to get something like that cleaned up. So mm-hmm. you're clearly losing money on day one. And that came up off air recently because we were talking about that story at the In-N-Out Burger there in Hollywood. Those two Uber riders, also ladies, they were sisters, 26 and 32 years old. And what was the deal? Do you remember, Kevin? Why did they go so crazy on their Uber driver?
I don't think anyone knows, but she had puked and then they started yelling. So he pulled over into the In-N-Out. And then yeah. they got out of the car and they just took on all comers. It was crazy.
Yeah.
It was
I think he was kicking them out of the car at that point. Okay. And they lost it. And they started beating up people, a security guard. They took their heels off and started hammering cars. It was insanity.
Started dropping the F-bomb and the N-bomb, and it just eventually a woman on the street ended up at least holding down one of the ladies and sitting on her until the police arrived. But, I mean, that's the beauty of being an Uber driver. And I don't know that we've ever even done this topic. If we have, it's been a real long time. We would like to hear from you, the Uber driver, about the things that have happened in your car.
Yeah, because don't you think, like, something like that, let's say you drive 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. Don't you think something like that happens 2 days out of those five?
You would, especially if they work at night.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's the wild card is if you're working at night, a lot of people are Ubering specifically because they're drinking and they know they can't drive.
Right. Yeah.
So you are the pool of passengers that you are picking up, unless you're going to or from the airport, is probably drunk yeah. on a Saturday night in Hollywood. Let's face it. So we want to hear from you in your Uber horror stories if you are a driver at 1-800-520-1067. There was a story a couple of months ago in the Bronx about an Uber driver who was assaulted, and the woman passenger said that she was going to call the police and accuse the driver of assaulting and raping her.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Why? Because he didn't have an iPhone charger. She, her phone was dead.
What?
She thought he should have a charger in the car, and she was furious. So she started to scream at him, and again, threatened that she was going to call the cops and make up all these horrible things about her. Started hurling racial expletives at the driver. And there's video of this, and he's very calm in this. She talks about how Donald Trump is going to send his family back to whatever country he came from.
Oh, man.
And yeah. just on and on and on. Again, all of this because he didn't have an iPhone charger.
So how is she going to call the cops? I mean, really, lady, think this through.
It's a fantastic question.
He gives her a charging cord. Now he's in trouble.
Then he's screwed.
And I gotta imagine if you're an Uber driver, you're thinking, it's not worth it. It's just, not, I mean, like, it's not tough enough already to make money being an Uber
right,
driver,
yeah.
right? And then one other story that happened fairly recently is a woman who just, again, went crazy on a driver. She was also drunk. I'm not sure why she was mad, but she started throwing everything out of his car that she could get a hold of. She threw out his paperwork, his flyers, a pair of scissors, a master lock, his iPhone, just picking up everything and just hurling it out the window.
What a nightmare that job must be.
It's got to be. I couldn't do it. I mean, I'm too much of a scaredy cat to just let some stranger in my car not having any idea, you know, what.
Well, you think they would hurt you? Because I would guess most of these aren't you being hurt. I would guess most of them are just like this last story, just destructive and throwing your iPhone out the window and just nonsense.
I would be worried as an Uber driver. I would be worried about being robbed. I would be worried about being involved in a criminal enterprise, which I am not aware. Like, I'm now all of a sudden, I'm the getaway car. You
We're
know,
at a bank,
like,
and he's pulling on a ski mask, and he's like, wait right here. I'll be right back.
Yeah, but I got to charge it $1 a minute while I wait.
It's going to affect your rating.
I mean, could you guys ever do it? Could you ever be an Uber driver?
Have
and
you
be
met
comfortable
me?
With it?
No.
I don't think I could be. And also the traffic would drive you crazy anyway. So
in
now,
this city, yeah.
So now in this city, you're already driven crazy by the traffic.
Yeah.
And then, why spend more time on the road if you don't have
to? And then these people get in your car and screw things up. Yeah.
All right. Well, the phones are packed. Let's take a couple before the break and start with Rudy and Torrance. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call or text here. If you're an Uber driver, we want to hear about what kind of crazy stuff has happened in your car. Rudy, thank you so much for calling. What's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thanks.
I'm calling, a long-time listener.
Thank you. Thank you.
So mine's a very freaky story. It was literally my last ride of the night. And I dropped off a guy who was, funny enough, I was dropping him off at a place called Rudy's Barbershop.
Rudy's Barbershop.
And your name is Rudy. That's why that's funny.
Yeah,
okay.
And dude, it's a freaky coincidence. A really nice guy and everything. Dropped him off. And I'm waiting for my call. And I wait for a little while. And I'm like, I'm not getting one. So what I did next was I just kind of went home. And as soon as I was about to go on the freeway, I glanced in the back of my seat, and there's a 9mm gun in my back seat.
Oh, my.
The dude that was going there left the gun in your back seat?
Yeah.
Was he expecting a bad haircut?
I have no idea. That wasn't my problem. I told him, hey, man, I can drive you there, but I can't give you this haircut. And he started to laugh. He was a cool guy, but, you know.
So did you take him his gun back?
No, I actually went to the cops and had them physically take it out of my car because I didn't want to touch it.
That's probably safe.
Yeah, you want to get your fingerprints on it.
Smart,
sure.
Rudy.
And thanks. So let me ask you this. Did your passenger at one point get back in touch with you and say, hey, dude, I left something in the back of your car?
No, because we have a security protocol where we call our company and tell them, you know, somebody left something in our pocket, and they have a critical response team that basically gets in touch. And
that's cool. So you don't have to deal with it.
No, I was just so freaked out that I literally wanted to cover every face so that I wouldn't be linked to anything.
Yeah, you're
smart.
No,
yeah.
Very smart, Rudy.
You're very smart, except for listening to this show.
Yeah.
Which we also appreciate.
It happens.
Misha, you hang on, and Ruben and Marco and Tim, too, are taking your calls. Crazy stuff that happened in your Uber. 1-800-520-1067. More in a moment on K-Rock.
All right, just ahead of the Offspring, let's take one call. Who do we want it to be?
Let's make it Misa in Anaheim. We're talking to Uber and Lyft drivers this morning at 1-800-520-1067 about the crazy things that have happened in your car. Misa, hi, you're on the show. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Good morning, party people.
Morning.
So I actually had two guys. They came into the car. They were so excited about the drugs that they had done. They wanted to get more. So they called their drug dealer and put it on speakerphone as I'm driving them from Newport Beach to Laguna Hills. The drug dealer actually answers, and on the speakerphone, I can hear him go, like, okay, what do you guys want? And the guys go, we want to get some more drugs. And they're like, you know what? No, I'm not going to give you more drugs because you still owe me for the last amount of stuff. And he hangs up the phone. Okay. Now, these two guys get irritated, and they're like, you know what? Drive us to my house. We're going to pick up my guns, and we're going to go rob this guy of both his money and his drugs.
That's a crazy thing to ask your Uber driver to do.
Right,
and dude. Are you busy for the next hour?
Let's go ahead and commit some crime together. I was like, oh no, I'm good. So what I ended up telling him, thinking that maybe I can talk my way out of it because they're super drunk and high, I'm gonna be like, you know what? You guys don't need more witnesses. It's gonna be on the receipt that I took you here and here. There's gonna be a paper trail.
Wow, you're actually smart. Did you actually talk him out of it?
I actually talked them into at least letting them figure it out. They're like, you know what? You're right. Just drop us off here at the corner, and we'll figure it out.
I got to tell you, that is very quick thinking on your feet, Misa. Well done, sir.
I'm happy because I got $100 out of the deal, so that was a great night.
It was a great night indeed. Mark calls next on K-Rock. Got to be honest, I can't wait to get to Drew.
Dr. Drew's episode with the title of Hollywood Medium aired last night on E! And we have many questions for him. He appeared to go in a skeptic and come out a believer. So we'll find out what it was like for him on the inside coming up. First, though, as a result of that story that made the news Saturday night in Hollywood at that In-N-Out Burger with those girls that went ballistic on their Uber driver, we thought it might be fun to hear from you if you're an Uber or Lyft or any kind of rideshare driver. What kind of things have you seen? Kay writes in, Dear Kevin Devine, I'm a police dispatcher, and I take calls from Uber drivers at least twice a night.
Wow.
Drivers getting beat up by their passengers, people passed out in the back of their cars, people puking in their cars, people having sex in the back of their cars. All of those things the police are involved in. So let's go to Marco up first now, 1-800-520-1067. Find out what he saw.
Hey, Marco.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good morning.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. Okay, so my story is that one time I used to work nights before, and now I work mornings. And one time I picked up a drunk couple from West Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And they were arguing in my car because the guy turned and looked at a girl with a mini skirt, and she started yelling at him, hey, what are you looking at, this and that. And then 5 minutes of them fighting, eventually I was driving faster because I was like, I don't want to be involved in an argument.
I was driving faster. Let's get this over with as quickly as possible.
Yep, and then 5 minutes pass, and then eventually they start making out, and then they're about to have sex in my car. She's already, like, taking off her panties, and he's dropping his pants, and I'm just like, whoa, can't be doing that in my car. I haven't had sex in my car. You guys are not going to be first.
That's a good policy, Marco.
You can't let them be first.
Mm-mm. So what do you do? Just tell them to just hold it until they get to wherever they're going?
Yeah, I just told them, you know what, I'm going to drive faster. You guys get home, and then you guys... You do you.
All right. Whatever. Exactly. Great stuff. Thank you so much, Marco. Appreciate that. Let's go to Tim Brea up next, line 5 on the Kevin Devine Show.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning. You're an Uber driver?
I am.
All right.
In fact, I'm taking a break right now. Yeah, I actually had a pair of transsexuals get in a fist fight in the back seat.
Why were they fighting?
Well,
a fist
first
fight.
Of all, they were
why is transsexuals important?
Well, it's just
okay.
They were different.
Okay, sure. Okay, fine. So there's two people in your car, and they start fist fighting.
Yeah, they're very drunk. Apparently, they were dating, and one of them hit on somebody in the club, and one of them called out the other one. And next thing I know, fists are flying, wigs are flying.
Oh my god!
And this is the one and only Uber trip I've ever ended and kicked them out of the car.
Oh. So you're able to pull over before you get to wherever they're supposed to be going and just say, get out.
Yeah, we have that option. It is our car.
Right.
But I literally had to threaten them with pepper spray and hit them with a flashlight in order to get them out.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
All right. Thank you for the call, Tim. Appreciate that. You know, I'm almost a little bit surprised just because most people, human decorum dictates that most people don't embarrass themselves in front of strangers.
Right, but so drinking.
Even, yeah.
But drinking.
I know drinking. But I just think, yeah, you're right. I've never factored in the drinking.
But
because,
drinking.
Because most people, they hold that fight until they get out because
right.
they don't want to do it in front of somebody.
Right, but drinking.
All right, let's do one more. Let's make it Victor, Mission Viejo, please, line 7.
All right. Hey, Victor.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Good, thank you.
So one time I picked some guy up. I'm from Mission Viejo. And I drove him to Skid Row to pick up meth.
Oh.
Did
no.
you know that ahead of time, or did they just say?
He didn't tell me when he first got in. He told me, like, halfway through. I was like, so what's up? Like, what are you headed to L.A. for? And he's like, I'm just going to be honest with you, man. Don't judge me. I'm going to go.
No worries.
And, so we get there, and he freaks out on me because I guess I made a wrong turn.
Let me ask you a question, Victor. Don't you, before he picks up the meth, don't you think, okay, this is a criminal activity. I don't want to be a part of it.
I mean, I did for a second, but I was like, screw it.
Yeah, Mission Viejo to right? L.A., that's a good fare.
Yeah, I just went with the flow. So he kind of freaks out on me because I made a wrong turn as we're getting there. And he, like, put his hands on my shoulder, you know, and I was like, whoa, am I going to have to, like, turn around and, I don't know.
Regulate?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So for some reason, he gets out, he does his business, and I wait for him.
What's wrong with you?
You are now an accessory to the crime.
You're making every decision wrong.
You know, there's not much that goes on, so I guess I just wanted an adventure.
All right.
So anyway, I wait for him, and he must have took a hit on his way back to the car because he literally passed out for an hour on the drive home. So, yeah, that was my craziest story.
That's crazy.
Good times. Good times. Keep doing what you're doing, Victor.
Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew.
I'm girding my loins, gentlemen.
Well, all I know is Kevin came on first thing this morning and said, well, we got to get Drew deported. We got to get him out of the country.
Well, I mean, I hope this is a good break because it's the last one the good doctor is going to be on the show.
Right, his last appearance after all these years on
Because quack.
All right, let me set it up for folks who weren't with us earlier. Dr. Drew Pinsky last night, his episode finally aired of this Hollywood Medium. What's it called? Tyler, the Hollywood Medium? Is that the name of the show, Doc?
I believe so.
It's Hollywood Medium with Tyler Henry.
Tyler Henry. Okay, so, and this is a guy who, he's a clairvoyant, I guess, and he tells you some stuff you already know that's surprising that he knows. Then he also talks to people beyond the grave or something. And you were, as you said at the top of the show, you were very skeptical, but apparently your wife loves stuff like this, and you've been around it a lot in recent years, right, Doc?
Oh, yeah, she loves this stuff. And I must admit, I haven't seen the episode. I don't watch my own stuff. But the comedy to my head was I just kept going, I'm interested in what they're doing. They're doing something because they all seem to do the same thing. But one thing I know is he's not talking to dead people. My wife just keeps yelling from the background, he's talking to dead people. I'm like, oh, okay.
All right, now, so question one, Dr. Drew, is had you thought that this guy was completely bogus, what do you say? Because your wife believes.
He's
good.
I don't hold back. Let's say I'm a good sport. I'm a good sport. Okay. I go along with things, but if it's something I don't know what the hell it is. I think they are sort of mind reading as much as anything.
Do you know cold reading? Do you know what that is?
No.
Cold reading is what most of these guys do, and if you want to look it up, there's a Wikipedia page, and it's basically they look at you, they can sense your income level, your ethnicity, the way you talk, everything, and so they're able to make pretty educated guesses about a lot of things.
And I suspect, look, I've been in therapeutic situations where things go back and forth between myself and a patient that are uncanny. I can't explain. I sort of feel things and hear things and know things that I can't explain. So I know that people co-create things together, and communication goes between humans that is right brain to right brain, and we're not aware of
if
a lot
you
of
could
stuff.
Do that, you could be making a lot more
I
money.
I know. It would be much better. Trust me.
Right. In other words, this is kind of how you diagnose people on the phone after 15 seconds, because you know just enough about their circumstances to know what is likely to have happened to them and got them where they are.
No, it's literally what I feel. I just can sense it and feel it and just know it in some sort of weird way. I just have a vision of that person and stuff and who they are and they always, you know, if they were abused at age six, magically I see a six-year-old in front of me and talking. And just it's just an intuitive whatever. And it makes sense that we have lots of that stuff going on between humans. And I think these people, they always do stuff that's sort of weirdly neurological. Like, you know, Tyler sweated through the chair he was sitting in.
Oh, is that right? How long was the total thing?
Eternity.
I mean, was it 45 minutes?
I think it was an hour and a half.
An hour and a half.
Yeah. All right. What did we miss?
Yeah, because it aired about, I don't know, 10 minutes?
And probably all the stuff. Did they do all the stuff she did for my wife, about her father and stuff? I bet not.
There was stuff about your dad.
Yeah. And I'll tell you the one thing that was uncanny. Did he mention my uncle, Jack?
Yes.
Yeah. And he said, you need to go see him. And I went to go see him. We had two very deep conversations. And then he died. Boom. And it was
so Tyler killed your uncle.
Exactly. He insisted just to make sure that this all bore out. Yes.
All right. Dr. Drew, several of the things that aired were one of your kids having brain surgery.
Yeah.
Multiples.
Yeah.
That you had. Several of these things seem like they could have been the easiest thing in the world just to Google.
Your prostate cancer, for instance.
Right.
If you think I'm going to resist that notion, you got the wrong guys, because that's certainly a possibility.
Is that what you were thinking when he said...
The comedy of Tyler is he sits down with, like, a president and goes, George Bush, I'm not sure. I've never heard of you. I'm sorry. I don't know. That's the comedy of what he's doing in one respect. On the other, he insists, and the producers insist, he doesn't do that.
But his people can certainly do the research.
Could,
I mean, we know that's a possibility.
I tell you what my wife does with her friends that are psychics when they do research.
By the way, they did leave in that she has 24 psychic friends.
That's about right. Okay. That's about right. And when she has them do stuff on podcasting and things, she won't tell them who they're going to read. And she watches them to make sure they don't have their phones or computers or anything.
Right.
So they don't get introduced to the person until after they've done the reading.
Okay.
All right. We're talking to Dr. Drupinski about his appearance with the Tyler Henry Medium show last night. Allie, why don't you ask Dr. Drew, because we don't want to color the question here, because I know you're a little bit more of a believer than we are. The thing that surprised you last night about Susan, Dr. Drew's wife's house.
All right.
Yeah, he brought up her house.
Yeah.
The area of water next to it, all the problems that you guys were having with the roof and leaking. How would he ever know any of that?
I don't know. And she, I don't know how much that he put in about her father, but he nailed him completely.
About him being a do-it-yourselfer and doing the actual work on the house a lot. He did come up with that himself.
He guy owned a hardware store and he worked until he was 94. And that house was a big deal to him. And we had all kinds of stuff about that house and selling the house and not selling the house and her feeling guilty about it and knowing that her dad wouldn't want it to be sold. I mean, that was crazy. That was kind of, you could not look that stuff up. No way.
Okay, so, but what was the the body of water that the house was in?
She grew up in Newport.
In Newport.
Right,
okay.
By the water.
Okay, so that, I mean, so what I would say is those are probably common problems with all houses next to the ocean.
Yeah. And again, he looked at her and saw Newport Beach. I mean, that's not that big a stretch. And, there's room for intuition here. That's all I'm saying.
All right, so let me ask you this. Even in that case, even if it's a mystery to all of us where he was able to pull that information from, he's still only telling you stuff that you already know. How useful is that?
I don't find this stuff particularly useful. The talking to Deb Peel part, I don't buy.
So you still, after this, you still do not think he was talking to Deb Peel?
Well, I don't know what he's doing. I know they're doing something because they all seem to do the same thing. But it's interesting how, again, that moving of his hand is sort of neurological. They always have strange eye movements. And so they're
Right?
Yeah, they all do. And why is it, Allie, that women seem much more responsive to this stuff than men? What is that?
Because we don't shut things down just because we don't have a fact in front of us.
You're not closed-minded, I see.
Exactly.
We're closed-minded.
That's it.
Hey, I'll tell you, we've had psychics on before, and we ask for phone callers, and every phone call we get is from a female.
And I'm sure I'm doing something in return that he then responds to and sort of moves him in a certain direction. You know what I mean? I want to watch the show to see if I can figure out what I'm doing to contribute to it.
Well, you said that you said at one point that you have met a lot of people who have the skill set that he has.
Yes.
What did you mean by that?
That Susan's friends, all these psychics she has around, they all do kind of the same thing. They all do these strange sort of neurological maneuvers with eye movements and frontal releasing things. And so I know what it is, but it needs study. It needs to be explained. And I don't think they're talking to dead people.
I'm telling you, look up cold reading.
Sure there's something. But how about that? Did they show the part where he came up with China?
Yes.
That was kind of wild.
They did show that. But again, you're Dr. Drew, and you hosted that Celebrity Rehab for a long time. So it's not a stretch for me to guess, I bet you lost somebody.
In terms of the... Thanks.
No, but seriously, you're in a life and death situation all the time.
All the time. Right. And in terms of the intuitive part, you know, maybe he heard it, you know, on the television when he walked by something one day. You know what I mean? Maybe it gets in some other way than his, explicit consciousness.
In that hour and a half, did he say anything to you that you're like, I don't want that on TV?
Great question.
Not that I remember.
Okay.
Not that I remember. I don't remember saying anything like that.
Are you in a trance? What's happening? What's going on?
No, my battery just
still
ran
put
out.
Okay. Well,
let me ask you. I got one final question for you, Dr. Drew, and that is, and I know you're saying you don't think he talks to dead people, but in some of the other celebrities that were on the show last night, like Little Kim, for instance, and Jamie Lynn Sigler, he did talk to dead people from their lives.
Bean, if you say so.
No, he
says
he said
they talk to dead people. Okay, but I guess what I'm saying is, if it makes those people feel better, because it's rarely bad news, if it makes those people feel better to hear, your loved one heard you while you were holding his hand at the hospital before you pulled the plug and he was fine with it, what's the harm, right?
No, not only is there no harm, I've actually seen psychics help people get through sort of stuck grieving. Where they're not moving on, they're 2 years in, and the psychic, you know, sits with them, connects with them in some way, and they're kind of able to move through the grieving process a little better. And to me, I don't care what they're doing then. If it helps people, if it helps people, it entertains people, so fine.
I always sort of thought that they were taking advantage of those people by making them pay because they're in a vulnerable state. But I think if that's wrong thinking, you're saying if it helps, why not?
Well, if the person is a, you know, sociopath and just milking them for money and repeating them back, you know, or people get sort of addicted to the psychic thing and keep going back and wasting their money. Yeah, that's a problem. But anybody, I would think, ethical would sort of discourage that.
And Drew said it gave him this calmness.
I did?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, good Lord, Drew. Watch your segment.
What's happening? Do you not remember any of it?
You said you were just calm after it. You were basically at peace with what he told you.
Well, I was calm when we started, too, I guess.
Oh, good Lord, Drew.
Dr. Drew, how are we supposed to ask you about a TV show?
Were you there?
If you don't know anything about it.
I was doing television, everybody. Right. I was doing my job. But it was fun. It was interesting. It did make a difference in terms of my relationship with my uncle. And that was meaningful. So okay. I got something meaningful.
The way they edited it, though, is that it gave you a calm and a peace, and you were really helped, and you were surprised.
I was surprised. I was surprised by how much stuff how really accurate some of the stuff was, and how helpful some of it was.
The show is Hollywood Medium with Tyler Henry. Dr. Drew's episode aired last night, but it'll be on repeat if you want to check it out on E! Don't forget drdrew.com for all the podcasts. Dr. Drew Midday Live with Mike Catherwood, noon to 3 on 790 KABC. And get the Heal app to have a doctor visit you in the comfort of your own home. Good chat. You're a good sport, Doc. Thanks for coming on to talk about this. Bye-bye.
Literacy's Alternative Rock. It's the world-famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
So much going on in the world of sports. We'll catch up with our friend Jim Rome just after 8, and then James Vanderbeek makes his return to the Kevin and Bean Show, star of What Would Diplo Do? That should be a lot of fun. Allie's in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's new?
Remember when I said there was one winning ticket?
Yes.
For Wednesday's lottery, $758 million,
yep.
And that was in Watertown, Massachusetts?
Mm-hmm.
They've now corrected that.
Oh.
Still only one winning ticket.
Oh.
But that ticket in Watertown was for a measly $1 million. Like, what a loser. It wasn't the big winner.
It's very rare they get that wrong.
Yeah. So the big winner was actually in Western Massachusetts, a place called Chicopee. So if you have family in Chicopee and they are not answering your calls.
That's why.
Absolutely. So one big winner, that was in Chicopee. And then 2 million matched five winners in six states. So people in six states are walking around with $2 million extra in their pocket right now.
All right.
Maybe not in their pocket yet.
I heard this morning, and I don't believe that there are places that are lucky to buy a lottery ticket. Mm-hmm. Although, around the country, there's that one on the news last night in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. People come from all over to line up for hours to buy a ticket at that place because they've had a couple of winners. Mm-hmm. I heard last night, Allie, that Massachusetts has had like three or four huge Powerball winners.
Yeah, I think this year and then 2011 and 2012, huge.
So that's
huge
where we need to go next time to buy.
All
the
I'm saying is a lot of winners come out of Massachusetts.
Again,
that
it's
is
random though. The numbers come up randomly. It doesn't matter what state you buy the ticket in. Right. Is what I'm saying.
Well, there was a $1 million winner in California as well as 18 other states. So check your numbers: 6, 7, 16, 23, and 26. Powerball was 4. And Kevin, you got two of those numbers?
I got two.
Awesome.
So how much do I win?
No.
Oh.
Nothing.
I'm surprised that they didn't split this one because it's very rare that all of the numbers are under 30. And usually there are a lot of people who quick pick and play anniversaries and birth dates and things like that. So those numbers tend to be played more heavily. So it's really amazing that there was only one winning ticket.
We should do a segment on the odds.
I like
That's
it.
That's a great idea.
Where we figure out, like, what are your odds to win? And then if you buy a second ticket.
People are so
mad.
How does
it change?
I hear the odds are double. I hear if you buy five tickets, you're guaranteed to win.
That's what I've heard.
Hey, if you've been chatting with Robert Downey Jr. On Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, you haven't. I'll just say that. Oh, you have not been chatting with Robert Downey Jr.
It's not him?
No. Mostly, this is how you can tell. He's asking you for money. Robert Downey Jr. He wants everyone to know that he does not need your financial assistance. Yeah, apparently some scam artists are impersonating him online, asking for donations, pretending to be him in chat forums and then on DMs, that type of thing. Yeah, come on, people. Be smarter.
Right?
Right? He's not going to ask you for money.
Right. No.
Screech.
No, he's got all
Screech might. So if you're chatting with Screech, go ahead and just send him that donation because that's him. Some birthdays today. WWE's Vince McMahon is 72. The Goot, Steve Guttenberg, is 59. Comedian Dave Chappelle is 44. Actor Chad Michael Murray is 36. Rupert Grint is 29. And from your Los Angeles Kings, Anjay Kopitar is 30. I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Jim Roman's next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes after 8 o'clock.
It's about our favorite time of the whole week. We catch up with our good friend Jim Rome, talking sports. JimRome.com. 3 great hours of sports talk radio from 9 till noon today. And just announced a new Jim Rome podcast debuting Tuesday. Jim, this is huge news for the clones. What's going on, buddy?
Kevin Bean, what's up, guys? All right, so brand new. Thanks for bringing that up. Very big of you guys. Got the brand new podcast. It is dropping on Tuesday. It is exclusive content. It is something separate from the radio program. The way I've done it up until now is we have repurposed our content from the radio show and made that a podcast, but this is something new and different with exclusive content.
Oh, so that's fantastic. It's awesome. Very exciting. And that'll be debuting on Tuesday on iTunes, Google Play, wherever you get your podcast, the new Jim Rome podcast. So much to talk about in sports. I'm so glad we got you today of all days. And, of course, we will get to the Dodgers in a second. But why don't we start with the stunning announcement for some, expected, I imagine, for others, that John Jones failed another drug test. What did you think when you first heard the news, Jim?
Yeah, the most surprising thing about that is it's not surprising at all. Now, let me just say the obligatory. He will get his due process.
Right.
He can appeal. Blah, blah, blah. Now we got that out of the way. What a fraud this guy is. What a fraud. I mean, going on and on before the fight about what excuse will Daniel Cormier have when he beats him, how jacked up it is for anybody to ever question his accomplishments. And then after failing a PED test last July and getting suspended, he fails another one this July. And this time, guys, for a hardcore roid, Tarinabol. Go to YouTube, punch that in, and look at all what all those roid heads have to say about that drug and what it does to you. And it's not just the peds, right? Let's not forget about the blow, the hit and run, the DUI, and the fact that he's probably pissed away more opportunities and God-given talent than anybody ever in that game. Least surprising thing of all, allegedly.
Is it definitely that steroid? Has anyone in charge come out and said that other than TMZ?
No, well, yes. I mean, this is the speculation. This is the drug. And like I said, Allie, oh, hey, Allie, what's up?
Hey, Jim.
Okay, so what they're doing, he will test the B samples. He will have his appeal process. And they always have a spin for everything. Remember the last time this happened? He's like, oh, no, I wasn't trying to get any kind of edge. That was just a sexual enhancement drug. Like he just took Cialis. This is a roid, a hardcore roid. There is no way to spin this one.
Jim, let me ask you this question. How many fighters do you, what percentage of fighters do you think use roids and then quit at a certain time or whatever so that they can safely be tested?
All.
I think lots.
I think lots. Almost,
I
mean,
look,
all, yeah.
Look, can I tell you something? People are always going to cheat, and they're always going to cheat in every single sport. As long as the reward is greater than the risk in their minds, they're going to do it. But the guys who do it and do it effectively have deep pockets, and they have a good plan and a good way of going about it. This guy, if he did it, apparently didn't. The question I have is why? Why would this guy who missed a year of his career already, when everybody was watching him, and he's going around talking about how I did this the right way, and he's leading with his faith. This guy, how could this guy do it again, allegedly?
I mean, it's that's one of the things that's the great mystery, because this was his redemption. This was his way to be crowned the greatest UFC champion of all time and get all those monkeys off of his back. And I can't believe that he would risk that all in a fight that he thought he was going to win anyway.
Yeah, I can answer the question, I think, the one that I posed. Why? Because this is who this guy is, allegedly, or he's that arrogant, or he's that dumb, or by the way, maybe he thought deep down he couldn't beat Cormier without doing it, but it's going to stick to him. This might be the last we see of him. Dana White said that if it is a positive test, we probably will never see him again.
All right. Well, we'll keep our eyes peeled for what the B test reveals. All right. A bunch of other great stuff coming on. I know we're not talking a lot about basketball, but this Cavaliers-Celtics trade has a lot of implications beyond just the two players involved, the two main players involved. There are others as well. What did you make of what happened with Kyrie and Isaiah?
You know, the old saying in the NBA is that the team who gets the single best player in any blockbuster deal wins that trade. Except I don't think that's the case here, because the Celtics got the best player in Kyrie Irving, but the Cavaliers, to me, came away with the best overall talent if Isaiah Thomas is all right. He's got a bad hip. it's a small miracle because they had no leverage. I mean, this guy's on record as saying, I want a trade. Everybody knew they had to trade him, and I still think they worked an amazing deal. Now, I know you guys. I know what you think before you think it. You're thinking, does this mean LeBron is still coming to L.A.?
Right. Yes, that's exactly our follow-up question.
I know what you're thinking before you think it. The thing with that is it's impossible to know what he'll do. Because remember back in the day when he announced his decision on live TV?
Yeah.
The thinking was there's no way this dude punks Cleveland on live TV, and then he punked Cleveland on live TV. And then he did the same thing to Miami a few years later. So we don't know what he'll do. Unlike Paul George, who says, I want to be a Laker, this guy's not going to tell anybody anything, and he's going to string everybody out for an entire year, so we all lose our bleep wondering what he's going to do.
All right, fair enough. Let's talk to
Jim.
Let's talk to the.
If you're not going to say it, I will.
The money belt has been revealed from the World Boxing Council. Ali, I know that you were spitting on this when you saw this blingy money belt with all those diamonds and sapphires and emeralds.
This is the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen in my life. How pathetic.
This you mean is by embarrassing, you mean awesome?
No.
By pathetic, you mean like the best thing ever?
It's why, embarrassing.
Ali? Why? You don't like your bling.
It's a fake belt. It's like they were like, oh, what? Just grab something from Pinterest. Yeah, that looks good. It's because stupid. It doesn't matter. It's a fake belt.
It's a fake fight, too, right? There's nothing on the line. They're not fighting for
anything. Maybe y'all want to adjust your attitudes a little bit. They're not fighting for anything, man. They're fighting for $250 million each. But trust me, they're fighting for things. And it's have you not seen these guys on Instagram? Trust me, they're about the life. They're about the life. They're about the bling. They're about the stacks and stacks and stacks. Look at both of them. Believe me, they're fighting for that belt.
Are they fighting for that belt? $250 million?
No. No, reportedly Floyd will get $250 or more. Conor's got to cut the UFC in, so he'll make $100. Or more, reportedly. Mm. And you'd be damn sure they're fighting for that belt.
Yeah. It's so
what's better
dumb
than that belt?
It's bedazzled, Jim. It's bedazzled, for God's sakes.
And
it's stupid.
And it's awesome. What I would give. I'm going to get my own belt like that made up, but it'll be like more like a little rodeo belt with like a little run rhinestone, maybe.
Maybe for mutton busting.
Yeah.
All right. Final minute with our friend Jim Rome. Was it the most impressive Dodger loss you have ever seen? What happened to poor Rich Hill last night in Pittsburgh?
Poor Rich Hill, man. In a year where nothing has gone wrong for L.A., nothing went right last night, in case you missed it, this guy takes a perfect game into the ninth, a no-hitter into the tenth, and he comes away with jack squat. No perfecto, no shutout, not even a win. I've always said that saying something sucks is not a take, but that really, really sucked.
But there's such an upside on this, which is Rich Hill is pitched lights out last night for 99.99% of the game. Even more than that, because the thing that broke up his perfect game was an error, for God's sakes. That's the Rich Hill you want heading toward the playoffs.
No doubt. And he shook it off pretty easily. I mean, if I were him, I would have taken it much worse than he did, but he didn't. That's Rich Hill. He's like, hey, it's baseball. He started spitting cliches. You know, what would have made him feel better in that moment is if somebody had slapped that money belt around him. Like he was king of the world. I don't care about any perfect game. I got the money belt, yo.
Jim Rome on sportsjimrome.com.
You guys are so wrong about that.
From 9 till noon today, and the brand new podcast is available starting Tuesday wherever you get your shows. Jim, great talk. We'll do it again next week. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for everything, guys. Bye.
Thank you, man.
So let's find out what kind of Hollywood star James Vanderbeek is. So you're supposed to be picked up this morning by a car.
Yes.
And what happens, James?
You guys are never going to believe this, man. It was crazy. The car wasn't there.
What?
I
know, hope you threw an enormous tantrum. I hope you threw some coffee at your kids or something.
I gotta say, I love the low bar of expectations that are set for an actor. And like, you get so much credit for driving yourself in for an interview. People are like, thank you for driving yourself. You're like, it's all right. Okay.
I can handle it this time.
How did you survive? You actually drove yourself? That's crazy. Well, thank you for making the extreme effort, James. We appreciate it very much.
For
we are delighted to have James Vanderbeek back on the show. He is the creator, right? Creator, showrunner, executive producer, writer, actor, and star of a show that is great on Viceland called What Would Diplo Do? If you don't like the reggaeton horn, you're going to have a lot of trouble with the show because there's a lot of reggaeton horn in it. But it's, I mean, I don't know where to start because it's such a crazy idea that, James, you must have spent so much time over the past few months just explaining to people because it's so meta, right?
It's such a weird idea, yeah. It all came from this commercial I had done for the Mad Decent Block Party Tour. I had never met Diplo. I had heard him talk about music and how he kind of blended different influences, and I thought, oh, this guy's kind of a genius. Brandon Dermer was the guy who was tasked by his management with coming up for a commercial for it. It was his idea for me to play Diplo.
Is that right?
Yeah. He just thought, oh, James looks enough like him. He's done that kind of meta thing before. We did this commercial. I thought they would be it. And then Viceland came to us and said, were you taking this? We're like, what?
Is that commercial I just
did? Like, this series. I'm like, this is not a series, guys. You guys are really cute.
It's
like,
a skit, yeah, right? That's what you thought. It's just a skit.
It was a one-off. It's like a Dollar Shave Club type vibe. And so, you know, my infinite wisdom, I went back and said, guys, yeah, you know, I'll think about it. But, and then I thought about it that night and I was like, wait a minute, this could totally be fun. Like, and if we did like EDM Jesus Sucks at Life, that was like the kind of pitch initially. And then, what I really want to do with like parables about life through the eyes of a clown. That's what we pitched Spike Jones.
That sure is what it looks
advice.
Like.
And then, yeah, they gave us a green light and went off and wrote it. And,
now, I would imagine there must be a lot of people who don't know who Diplo is. Or you're kind of pushing a rock up a hill, at least with the title, from people who are just flipping around on their TV if they're not plugged in, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said before, like there are two groups of people. There are people who have no idea who Diplo is.
Right.
And there are groups, and then there are people who are like can't believe anybody doesn't know who Diplo is.
Right.
It's like a very, you know, two very divided camps. So it's actually been kind of fun, you know, because what you want to do is, like, you want to add value. You don't want to, like, you know, somebody who's out there
right,
making way more money than I do every year.
Yeah, he's a real person.
Yeah, like, I don't want to mess with this thing, you know. So, like, the fact that I am actually explaining to people who he is and kind of brought it, I feel like, okay, at least I'm adding to his coffers a little bit. You know?
It kind of makes it look like Diplo hired a guy to walk around and promote him all the time.
It's pretty much what, like, Marshmello's doing, but with a real dude.
Yeah. Yes, right, exactly. Yeah. So
did you have to get his approval? Did you talk to him about the series?
He's an executive producer.
He's an executive producer.
Yeah, but when I say that, he gave us music and was totally cool and open and like allowed for me to swap places with him on stage a couple times, but he was not meddling at all.
I mean, you make him look like a complete idiot.
Yeah.
You do. And it's brilliant, does he ever come to you and go, okay, James?
No, he's never done that.
He's never done that.
He was, I think... Before I did the series, I sat down with him, and when I know from having played myself on TV that the only way to do it is, like, you have to do what's funniest. Don't ever be afraid of insulting me. That's what I said to Anoushka Khan before I did Apartment 23. And so when I thought, okay, I think we can make this a series, I sat down with Wes, who's Diplo, and
right.
I was like, are you okay with this? Like,
right.
What's your take on it?
Because you know we're going to have to go far, right?
Yeah. And his response was, yo, just made me look completely ridiculous.
Yeah. And that's absolutely the way to do it, because he's so funny in real life.
Yeah.
He's so self-deprecating.
Yeah.
But he's also, a lot of times, smarter than everyone else in the room.
Oh, yeah.
And people don't really get that because they just think he's kind of being goofy and funny. But he's brilliant.
He's like Yogi Berra smart. He's like, yeah, he's incredibly sharp.
Yeah.
And so, if, you know, for our thing, we made him like musical genius, but, you know, selectively dim.
Yes.
In fact, Bobby Lee, who plays your Diplo's manager,
yeah,
constantly says, he's the dumbest person I've ever met in my life.
And they say, what are you doing? He goes, I'm his manager.
Yeah. I want to go back to something you passed by a minute ago, James, and that is when you swapped out on more than one occasion with Diplo on stage. So this is at a Diplo gig where people are there to see and know and love Diplo, and you, what, dress like him and then walk out on stage?
Dress like him, put on the dad hat.
Put on the hat, yeah.
And just start waving.
And just start waving my fingers in the air, and everybody starts following me. And I knew there was a camera over my left shoulder, and I was like, this is going to look like a bazillion dollars.
That's a great shot.
And those people just thought you were Diplo.
Yeah, they did. I mean, from like 20 feet away, I could be a stunt double, really. And there's no part of an audience member at a major laser show going,
it's that close, right?
Are they going to swap him out for the guy from Boston Street? Like, there's not something that's occurring to them.
Have you thought about touring full time? There's two Diplos at all times.
Right? He's got to pee at some point,
right?
Up there.
No, I'm saying go on your own tour.
Go on my own tour.
Yes. And just, Diplo.
And just start pressing the button.
Yes.
And just start
moving around. Just press play, man. Just press play. Come on. Before we take a break with James, to get the show we're talking about is called What Would Diplo Do? Oh, sorry. It is a Thursday nights at 10 on Viceland, and we're going to take a break here in a second. But tell me about the mustache, because you wear it well, my friend. Is this the first time you've had a stash?
Every once in a while in the past, if I've had to audition for like a real douche or like a child molester or something, I would like grow a mustache. Stash? It's like a douche stash. It's like, okay, I got to play a douchey character. Let's go mustache.
How do you feel? Are you comfortable with it, or does
it
drive you crazy?
Now, actually, I kind of like it now. I don't know. What's the wife think? Used to it. The wife likes it. She doesn't like me clean shaven.
Is that right?
Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. She's like, yeah.
Cover that face up.
I support
exactly.
her.
Exactly. cover that thing up, for God's sakes.
James Vanderbeek is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. More with
Diplo. Diplo is in the studio with us.
Kevin, you're confused. That's actor James Vanderbeek. He plays Diplo in the Viceland series called What Would Diplo Do? With another episode tonight at 10.
He looks a lot like Diplo.
He actually does. From a distance, especially, if you squint. So hey, James, you're making all the major decisions on this show. I know you have a talented crew, but you're the main guy. Why are you taking your shirt off so much? That's every episode you figure out a way to strip down. What's going on there, son?
Well, I don't know if you follow Diplo on Instagram.
But it's true to the brand.
But it seems very hard to keep a shirt on that guy.
Yeah. The episode where you and Kevin, you'll relate to this, where you get locked out of your hotel room in just a towel.
Oh yeah, that was funny.
You filmed that? That wasn't a set. That was a real hotel.
It was a real hotel. We shot at the Biltmore down here in Los Angeles. Yeah.
So you're running up and down the halls essentially naked or with whatever they cover the...
With very, very little clothing, yes.
Right. And do you run into any customers that day? Any people visiting the hotel?
We had blocked out... The hotel had let us... I could block out, you know, that floor or that hallway at least, with the exception of one room.
Oh, no.
Really?
How lucky was that
person?
Was
it a computer error or what? But there's this running down the hall and I'm like walking back and this elderly couple...
Oh, no.
...shows up.
Oh, no.
And goes into the room and like he's got... like. Elderly, like, they're dressed up. He's got a vest on and, like, a tie and the whole thing, and she's not happy.
She's just not happy about your presence.
Yeah, I don't know. She wasn't happy about much, but she's my presence did not make her any happier. Let's put it
right.
That way.
I love the idea that they just run into this dude sprinting down the hall naked.
Yeah,
it's fantastic. I don't know what the budget is on this show. It looks good, but do you find yourselves kind of winging it as you go when you film at all of these various places because you're all over the place?
We were very rogue about it. Yeah, we wanted it to be truthful as we could make it. But then, you know, they're just budgetary constraints, and it's a big show. It's a big life this guy lives, and so a lot of that is very expensive. So we had to do things like, you know, in order to recreate a concert scene where Diplo used to open for a metal band, we had to throw me up. we could not afford extras, and we couldn't, you know. So we actually went to an Every Time I Die show in Camarillo.
Okay.
And
so they were already playing and there was already a crowd there.
Yep, already a crowd there.
Okay.
And Diplo actually used to follow a tour bus around from a metal band. And he used to follow around in his Scion and he used to let him open for them.
Really?
And he would stay in the cheapest hotels he could find and then open for them. And he told me that every once in a while he would get booed. And I was like, this has to be in our show.
Oh, man.
But again, couldn't really afford to shoot it. So. We just threw me up on stage in front of an Every Time I Die crowd. But if we told them what was going on, then they would be legally paid SAG extras.
Oh, so there's no way you can tell them what's going on.
We can't tell them. All right. Can't give them a heads up on anything. So
you guys have to go up there and take the heat.
So, yeah. So I said, well, what would happen if we just announced, hey, you guys ready for Every Time I Die? They're like, ah! All right, but first, all the way from Florida, DJ Wesley Pence. And so I went up in an emo haircut and a Wolf Shaman shirt. I played really, really slow electronic music. And if you watch all the way through the credits at the end of the last episode, you'll see like about a minute and 30 seconds of people just screaming.
Oh, my
and
God.
When I guess you can't say asshole, right? But when they, but that,
well,
but that,
yeah, you can late call now.
Them
that, yeah.
But okay, but so yeah, so that chant started at one point.
And you're so happy.
Happier, right?
I was so happy.
Really,
right?
I was pretty psyched about that.
But it's got to be both. Like you're a human being and you're being booed.
But for
the show, it's great.
For the show, it's amazing. Yep. What really, really got me because it's like a hardcore crowd,
right?
You know, those are generally some very sweet people.
Right.
It was when other people in the crowd started chanting, shut up, let him play! That was when I was like, I have to leave. I gotta get out
of here.
You're
toying with their emotions at this point,
they're
James.
They're like standing up. They're like, he's got something to express. Shut up! I'm like, no. You can't do this. Like, that killed me. That's when I was like, I gotta get on stage.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
One of the meta things about your program, by the way, phenomenal cast. Kroner is my favorite character of the whole show.
Michael Kroner is amazing. He's so brilliant.
He's hilarious. The comedian Bobby Lee plays your manager, we mentioned. I know Jamar Malachi. I don't know his comedy, but apparently he's phenomenal.
Jamar
Neighbors.
He's got these comedy mixtapes out there. You should check him out. Jamar Neighbors. Yeah.
He's hilarious. And talk about Jasper, because this is one of the most meta bits of casting ever.
Yes. So when I went to the Mad Decent Block Party to film like a kind of teaser promo to show Vice, you know, thematically what we wanted to do. And Brandon Dermer was there shooting it. And Dylan Francis was also playing.
Right.
And Dylan just jumped in and started improvising with me.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
He has a great sense of humor.
He's got a great sense of humor. And I wasn't really familiar
with
his
social
media
presence. Did you know who he
was? I knew who he was. I knew his music. I knew he's huge in the electronic music world. But what I did not know, I was not following him on Snapchat at that point.
Right.
And so when I did, I was like, this guy is really clever. He's really creative. He's incredibly funny. And so I said to Brandon Dermer, I was like, what if we cast, you know, Dylan in the show? And Brandon was like, yeah, dude, he would love that. So we did. And it turns out, I mean, I wrote this role of this, like, hanger-on with just, like, the lowest IQ of any functioning
human. He's the biggest loser that you've ever seen.
Yeah, just like somebody. Yeah. The idea was, like, this is somebody who Dibble's been friends with since middle school.
Right. And just kind of laughs at his own farce.
And out, like, somehow this guy always makes the private jet in time, like, crawls out of some gutter. And, it's just, and everybody's like, oh, God, we didn't leave Jasper in, you know, Nashville. I guess he's here. And Dylan, so I wrote this thing for him, and he just crushed it. Turns out he's so good.
He really is great.
Yeah.
He's one of the biggest DJs in the world playing the idiot, though, and you're the idiot playing another one of the biggest DJs in the world.
And what's great about Dylan, too, is when he does, I don't know, he like changes the molecules in his body when he goes to play Jasper. You watch the IQ evaporate from behind his eyes.
That's
it's
amazing.
Really amazing to watch.
He does look incredibly stupid.
Yeah.
All right, before we run out of time, let's talk about tonight's episode. 10 o'clock Thursdays, Viceland. That means a new episode tonight.
And Viceland, by the way, is a TV channel. I have to tell people,
too. Yes,
it's on TV. The way to find it is you go to your TV and you type in Viceland.
Thanks for that, explanation.
That was great.
You know, there are shows called Weed a Kid on the channel. You can't take anything for granted.
Viceland is a great channel. You'll love almost everything on it.
If you
like
really
the show,
fun.
You'll love everything on it.
Yeah, it's,
why
it's
is tonight your favorite episode, James?
Tonight is my favorite episode because it was the first one that I wrote. I wrote it as a first episode. And in it, Diplo is supposed to throw out the first pitch at a baseball game in the Dominican Republic.
Yes.
Having just played a concert there. And he shows up late in like the seventh inning.
first pitch.
And so his manager, just to like really try to humiliate him, says, all right, smartass, you're going to take a ceremonial at bat now.
Oh.
And so he throws him up to the plate and you know, and stupidity ensues.
Okay. All right. And is this the episode where people are crowding around you taking selfies of Diplo,
yes,
I think?
Yeah. So at one of the shows, so it would be the format on this was so wide open. We just kind of threw in like interstitial stuff at like after the credits.
Right.
And so we were constantly just shooting. So at the Aaron Styles show here in LA, I went out into the crowd in a Diplo jersey and a dad hat, again with the mustache. And people started coming up and taking selfies with me.
And convinced it was Diplo.
I don't know what percentage it was, but there were a lot of people who were like, dude, you're awesome. I saw you in Vegas, remember? And I'm like, yeah, man.
Yeah, so it was great.
I just love to think, like, what happened when those people posted it?
Oh, yeah.
On right? Social media channels. They're like, yo, Diplo for life. And people are like, that's James Vanderbeek.
Well, congratulations, James. Please tell me that the inkling is that there'll be more episodes. Like, we can't leave it here, right?
Oh, I love hearing that. I really appreciate that. I would love to do more. I think we totally can. I mean, there's a lot of moving pieces in this.
I understand.
So,
we love the show, though.
Yeah, it's real funny.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank
what
you.
Would Diplo do, you guys, tonight and Thursday nights at 10 on Viceland? Of course, they offer it on demand, too, if you want to get caught up. James Vanderbeek, thanks so much for coming. Great to see you again,
guys. Always good.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
How about a free pay-per-view to see Floyd Mayweather Jr. versus Conor McGregor in Las Vegas this Saturday night? How about you don't have to pay for it, you still get to see it? How about all that?
That'd be pretty cool.
Tell you how you can do that in 5 minutes. We'll give you a chance to win it from the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. First, Allie's in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's going on?
You guys, I'm so happy that Ralph is on vacation this week because I never would have known about this story.
Okay.
Had he not been on vacation. I just had never heard this. It combines two of my favorite things.
Oh, no.
So
Tom Brady and what?
No, oh. No, no. Maya
the
Rudolph.
Holiday and what?
Maya Rudolph has joined Melissa McCarthy in the upcoming movie, The Happy Time Murders. But hold, hold.
I'm in.
Oh, no. You're okay. Going to be so far in
okay.
Once I tell you this. Oh. Variety reports the film is about two clashing detectives. One human and the other a puppet. Yes! Oh, my God. All the yes. Yes. They're forced to work together to find the killer of who's murdering the former cast of a puppet show called The Happy Time Gang.
Waka waka.
You guys, murder and puppets. This is the greatest news ever.
And Melissa McCarthy, who
and
you
Maya
love, too.
Rudolph.
And Maya Rudolph.
Seriously.
I mean, that's pretty good news.
If anyone is listening that's working on the Happy Time Murders, just let me come to the set. Just let me play with the puppets and Melissa McCarthy. Just
how is
hug
this
my,
not?
I just this is
how is this not a Christopher Guest movie? By the way, doesn't it sound like it
sure
would
does,
be?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like Waiting for Guffman, but with puppets. This is the best news I've heard in a long time. That's
yeah, they
a little
can't make
look
that movie
into my
fast
life.
Enough.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Speaking of fast enough, the day is here, right, Bean? Today is the day that Taylor drops that single, correct?
I assume 9 o'clock tonight, yeah.
So 9 o'clock tonight, it's reportedly called Timeless, correct?
I have heard that rumor as well.
Okay, and the new album is called Reputation. Mm-hmm. And have you figured out why the snake was being used? She had wiped all of her social media clean, and then just a picture of a snake, and it was kind of wagging its little tail.
I'm a little bit nervous, as I told you guys off the air yesterday. Mm-hmm. I don't love angry Taylor.
Okay.
I like happy in love
sure,
Taylor.
Sure.
And I think this is a pushback to the pushback. In other words,
right.
all the people that have come after her because of her feuds with Katy Perry and her mm-hmm. feud with Kanye West and everything, and a lot of ways that they've done that is by putting snake avatars in their social media messages to her, suggesting that she's a snake.
Yeah, they would just comment with the emoji
exactly.
of a snake.
Okay. So she's kind of fighting back, trying to reclaim that snake as her own. And I don't want a war here, you guys.
Come
I want
on.
Everybody to be
we want
happy.
A war. Let's
I
have
don't.
A war.
I don't think
so.
I'm all for war.
I couldn't be more excited about new Taylor music, but I'm nervous about the direction it might go. Because okay. I don't want her out there fighting the world. That's not the Taylor I love.
All right. Take it easy.
Yeah.
Well, Allie asked.
Right. But for God's
sake. He wants
sakes.
Happy-go-lucky Taylor. But let's be honest, Bean. If this is what she's feeling right now, she's mm-hmm. staying true to her art. Right?
I mean, that is what she does. She writes about what's going on in her life. I mean, she is not one of those singers who just buys songs from people. She writes her own songs about what's going on in her life. So, yeah, if this is what she's going through, I guess she's, you know, obviously she's entitled. And I'm sure it'll be great, but I'm nervously awaiting it tonight.
Okay, so tonight, dropping a single may or may not be called Timeless. And then she said when the album's coming out, right?
November 10th.
Okay.
They're going to preview the video tomorrow on Good Morning America, and then we'll see the whole video Sunday night during the MTV Video Music Awards.
Here's a clip.
These hoes be legacy me in a bank. They talking that but don't say it in person. Won't catch me off guard on no boulevard. I'm four in my car, am I driving my guard? Water dripping, come take a peek. You in a trailer, oh, but you can't compete.
I don't feel like she rapped before, did she?
Totally
different
yeah.
direction for
Departure.
Taylor.
Right?
How about the fact that Bean is super pumped for Taylor Swift, and I can't wait for a movie about murderous puppets?
That's odd.
It's so good. It's just good. Hey, you guys know Omaze, that website where you can buy tickets for a charity, and then you could possibly win something amazing.
Yes.
Well, they're at it again, but the money is going to the David Lynch Foundation, which provides transcendental meditation education programs to at-risk young people, domestic violence victims, and veterans suffering from PTSD and other ailments. And what could you possibly get for maybe, saying, $10? For $10, that qualifies you for a drawing to sing Get Back on stage with Paul McCartney.
Yay!
Are Are you kidding me?
That's crazy.
That's insane. That's the grand prize. So you get to sing that Beatles classic with Sir Paul and the band.
That's not the song?
No, but that is a great Paul song as well. That's just about going meat free on Mondays.
I see. Okay.
It's a fun day.
Yeah.
All around the world.
Right.
This is actually a huge song, Get Back to Where I Once
Belonged. What if they can't sing?
I think that's welcomed.
Yeah. What if they can't sing?
Well, it's during the sound check for a September 21st concert at Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. But you also get flown out there, four-star hotel, trip to New York, everything. But you're singing on stage with Paul McCartney.
Yeah, that'd be pretty weird.
That's insane.
Yeah.
So just go to omaze.com/Paul. And enter. Oh my God, Bean, how many times have you entered?
I have. You know, it's just a sound check. Not that impressive to me.
You're the worst.
During a concert? Yeah, I'm in. Sound check, yeah.
I think singing you're missing that it's Paul McCartney you that you're singing Get Paul. Back
sing
with
into
Paul.
An empty room, though.
Oh, you need that fan interaction?
Yes, I'm a performer, I'm an entertainer, and I miss my audience, yes.
I would like to suggest that your performance would be better served without an audience.
I think
audience.
That might be correct.
It's also possible.
Also possible as well. Hey, guys. All these people turning a year older today. The Goot. Steve Guttenberg, 59. Dave Chappelle is 44. Actor Chad Michael Murray is 36. WWE's Vince McMahon is 72. Rupert Grint is 29. And Anshay Kopitar from the LA Kings turns 30. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
All right, we have pay-per-view passes for you to see Mayweather-McGregor, and we're going to do it by... Should we tell them what we're doing?
No, but I think if you're a fan of boxing and a fan of movies, how about that? I don't want to give too much away.
That's so
great
different
tease.
Than what I was going to say, which is if you know movies about boxing.
But don't spoil it, Kevin.
Said,
don't spoil it.
Know your boxing movies.
Right.
Oh, that's too much.
Okay. Too much?
Okay. No.
Let's
hold a little back. All right. So if you know boxing and you know movies that may or may not be related, we want to hear from you on the phones right now at 1-800-520-1067. You will have to play a game, but someone will win the free pay-per-view for Mayweather versus McGregor Saturday night in Las Vegas. Call now. Good luck from K-Rock. This is fascinating to me. We're giving away this Mayweather versus McGregor pay-per-view party pack, including a $250 gift card for the fight and refreshments, command room t-shirt, hats, and posters. Look at the callers on hold, Kevin, and look at the question that was asked of them. Who are you rooting for?
Okay.
I don't think that's crazy at all.
Every single person is Conor McGregor?
Yeah.
No Floyd fans out there?
He's a horrible man.
He's a terrible person.
So people are too... Okay, I don't even want to get... I don't want to get sidelined because I'll get mad again.
Yeah, we don't want that.
let's give away the tickets. This game is called Punch Out.
Aw, Punch Out! Boxing! Movies! Punch Out!
All right.
By the way, that's number one.
We picked the name Punch Out just because he wanted to do that intro.
Yes. I think we'll be hearing that again in the top 10 of our intros of the year.
Punch Out!
So we're going to be playing a clip from a boxing movie, and there are so many great films about that wonderful sport, and all you have to do is identify it by title. If you're right, you go into the drawing. Somebody at the end is going to win the party pack. Who's our first contestant, please?
First up is Rick from Norwalk. Hi, Rick.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready?
Yes, I am.
Identify this movie about boxing.
I found you a fighter, and you made her the best fighter she could be.
I killed her.
Don't say that. Maggie walked through that door with nothing but guts. No chance in the world of being what she needed to be. A year and a half later, she's fighting for the championship of the world. You did that.
Ah, that's such a good movie. What is it, Rick?
I don't know that movie.
Oh, it's so good.
You're a terrible person.
No, you're not terrible.
I don't think he's...
It's Million...
Raging Bull?
I'm sorry, it's Million Dollar Baby.
Oh, I never saw it.
Oh, you need to see it, Rick.
Oh, man,
it's Morgan
Rick.
Freeman, directed by Clint Eastwood. Please check it out, Rick.
It's worth going back for, even though you didn't win the game. Thank you.
Yeah, now that you're not going to be watching the fight on Saturday night, watch that instead. All right, who's next?
Joe in Canoga Park. Hi.
What's going on?
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready?
Yes.
What's this movie?
Joe Frazier told me on this show that he could knock you out.
See, there you go agitating. You should have asked Smoking Joe, what have he been smoking? That boy even dreamed he whooped me. He better wake up and apologize.
That's Ali.
That is all they.
Correct. You go in the drawing. Hold on.
By the way, another outstanding movie.
Yeah. Agreed. Tony from Irvine is next. Hi, Tony.
What up, though?
Are you ready?
Yo.
Name this movie.
Dickie's a junk bag.
Hey.
He's a junk bag.
Why am I the problem? I'm his blood. I'm his family. I'm the one fighting, okay? Not you, not you, and not you. I know what I need.
And you need Dickie?
I want Dickie back.
All right. Which movie is that?
That would be The Fighter.
That would be The Fighter. Nicely done.
Or as Ali says, The Fighter.
It's The Fighter.
The Fighter.
Yeah, there wasn't enough accent in that clip, I felt.
Let's go to Lenny in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hi, it's Lenny.
Lenny, sorry. All right, are you ready?
No worries. Yes.
Here's your movie.
I can't lose my daughter. I give you my everything.
I know that you're mad at me right now.
You don't know anything.
She doesn't want to see you today.
Tell her I love her. I'm going to fight again. I'm going to get my kid back.
All right, what movie is that?
Oh, my gosh. Is that Creed?
No.
Not a terrible guess, but that was Southpaw with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, my God.
Nice try, though. Thanks for playing. We're playing the Punch-Out, by the way.
Thank you, Jim.
Trying to get more people in the drawing for the Mayweather versus McGregor pay-per-view party pack. Who's up next?
Jimmy in Santa Clarita. Hi.
Hi.
All right. Are you ready?
Yes.
Here you go. Good luck.
Why would you want to pick a fighter's life when you don't have to? If Apollo was around, he would tell you that, too.
He ain't around.
All right. Short clip, but it had a lot of information in it. What is it?
Rocky.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. It's Creed. I'm sorry.
Jimmy. So many noises.
I don't know what those noises were, but I'm afraid for his safety.
I'm afraid for his pants. All right, who's up next?
Let's go to James in Pasadena. Hi, James.
Well, hey, party people.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Good luck.
You couldn't win a fight for love of money, right? I mean, how do you explain your comeback?
Well, you know, the truth is, Jake, for a number of years there, we was fighting injured.
And, this time around, I know what I'm fighting for.
Oh, yeah? What's that, Jimmy?
Milk.
All right. What movie is that?
Cinderella Man.
That is Cinderella Man. Nicely done.
Somebody recognized Russell Crowe's accent. All right. Do we have time for one more?
Yeah, let's do Brad in Studio City. Hi.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey. You ready?
Yep.
Good luck.
That guy's great.
No, listen. He's only a man. You can beat him because you're a tank. You're a greasy, fast, 200-pound Italian tank. Go through him. Run over him.
Wow. All
right. That is the Italian stallion Rocky.
I mean, I assume we should accept that.
I think so.
Because it's Rocky 2.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I feel like we should accept that.
I agree.
Fair enough. Yeah. Brad, you're in the drawing, as is James, so is Tony, so is Joe. Only one will win the Mayweather versus McGregor pay-per-view party pack, including all the great stuff we told you about, courtesy of Mayweather Promotions and Frontier. The fight is this Saturday night on pay-per-view from Las Vegas. Who is our winner, please?
The winner is Tony.
Yay! Tony. Congratulations, Tony.
Yo, yo, yo.
Oh. You win. Thanks for playing the game.
Doing showbiz here?
Yes. Yeah. Now it's time.
This is showbiz time?
Yes, that's time.
Okay.
Allie's in for Ralph here on the Kevin and Bean Show on a K-Rock for a Thursday morning. Our final look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
You guys, I can't stop thinking about this.
If you're still talking about the Happy Murder movie with the puppets.
The Happy Time Murders, you guys.
Allie's never been more excited about a movie in her life.
If you missed it last hour, Maya Rudolph has joined Melissa McCarthy in the upcoming movie, The Happy Time Murders. I mean, right there I'm in. I love those two.
Agreed.
I love murder.
Agreed.
But this is what got me. Variety reports the film is about two clashing detectives, one human and the other a puppet.
Waka waka!
Oh, Fozzie, it sounds so good. They're forced to work together to find the killer who's murdering the former cast of a puppet show called the Happy Time Gang. All right, in. And then I find out Brian Henson is directing this.
Yeah!
I mean, you guys, seriously, if I'm not in this movie as a reporter, like reporting on the Happy Time murders,
right.
Something's
What's
wrong.
What's going to happen?
Maybe a real murder. Seriously, though. The Happy Time murders?
Yeah,
I love
it. It's tailor-made for you.
I love it so much. If you've been chatting with Robert Downey Jr. on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook.
Oh, yeah. He asked me for a donation.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool, so I sent it to him.
You did? Yeah. Okay. That wasn't Robert Downey Jr.,
What's
Kevin.
That?
Yeah, not him.
What?
Nope.
Huh?
Because really, how dumb are you that you think Robert Downey Jr. is DMing you asking you for money? But let's say you are that dumb. It's not him. It's a scam artist impersonating him online, and he came out and said, please, don't give money to anyone saying they're me, because it's not me. I'm doing just fine. And if there is a donation type of thing, I'm pretty sure he'd go through an Omaze or something like that. He's not going
to
DM you.
That's a weird thing to have to correct.
Right? Yeah, I am not DMing you.
Like me.
It's also weird that Iron Man is hating on a guy who's just trying to raise some money for charity, man. Like, the guy's trying to do good work out there. Robert Downey Jr. is coming down on him.
I don't think it's really a charity.
Well,
so much as just giving some scammer money.
Did you give as well, Bean?
Oh, when I PayPal'd, he assured me it was for needy children.
Oh, it's just so sad. Well, last year, you might recall FXX airing 600 episodes, a marathon, if you will, of The Simpsons over 13 days. Well, Comedy Central is getting in on that now. They will be doing a massive South Park marathon next month.
All
254 episodes, that's 20 seasons, will air over an 8-day stretch. That's going to start on September 6th, leading up to the season 21 premiere on September 13th. But there will be a 30-minute break in there because they are going to keep the Daily Show airing in its normal time slot. But other than that, all 254 episodes of South Park.
Kevin, you have said in the past that South Park is your favorite TV show of all time.
Yes.
Do you still watch it?
I do.
Still good?
Yes, but it is not still my favorite show of all time. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's good, mm-hmm. but it's not as great as it was. There's a lot of hit and miss. That's the problem. Sometimes it's genius.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, okay, that was weak.
Yeah.
So it's sort of up and down.
Do you think maybe you've grown a little bit and you're not so Cartman-esque?
Oh, no.
I didn't think so either.
Talking about.
I'm not sure. This is disgusting, but I thought maybe Bean would be one of these people because he likes to try those foods when they do those seasonal type things like the pumpkin spice Oreo. You'd be willing to try that, right?
Absolutely. I love. Look, here's what I say about
he
this.
He loves love, first of all.
And I know people get upset a lot of times when they start monkeying around with some of these brands like M&M's and Oreos and coffee and whatnot. They don't stop making the original. So
right.
If you don't want to try it, you don't have to. But what if it's awesome? That's what I say.
Well, this, I can't.
He is an eternal optimist. That's the thing about
that
him.
That is something I noticed straight away
right?
from him. But this is something I can't really wrap my head around. This sounds
so gross. Is this the pumpkin
gross.
Pie Kit Kats that came out today?
Worse.
Oh, man. That sounds terrible.
And it
terrible,
is Kit Kat.
Okay.
Oh, it is another Kit
it
Kat.
Is.
Okay, what are they? Because I'm down. I'm going to Target today to look for the pumpkin pie Kit Kats.
Of course you are. These are only available in Japan through September 10th.
Okay.
But when I tell you what it is, you're going to ask why it's even around at all. Kit Kat has just launched a new flavor based on cough drops. Yep, it's
okay,
the candy giant mixed with white chocolate and throat lozenge powder.
Yes.
Oh, no, that is so disgusting, Bean.
Yes. Look,
see,
I don't know
because you love the taste of NyQuil. I totally
Bean,
forgot
I do.
That.
I love
Bean is a contrarian, so if everybody says NyQuil tastes terrible, he says I love
no,
it.
No, I'm not a contrarian. I'm just speaking my truth, which is that it's delicious,
right.
And I love it. And by the way, I love cough drops, too, like Halls. I have Halls like people have gum.
Gross.
Or have candy. I love Halls. Are you kidding
well,
me?
Well, you need to find someone in Japan because
right.
it's, yeah, like I said, it's white chocolate mixed with throat lozenge powder.
We have a listener named Christy in Japan that I do hear from on social media, listens to the podcast.
Okay.
I'm going to see if she'll hook me up.
Oh, Christy.
I mean, come on.
That it's just.
It sounds pretty great.
Don't enable him.
I'm going to try it.
I think Christy needs to send those, though.
Yeah, I think so, too.
And he should Facebook Live trying it. Colossal disaster. Did any of you see the Prince concert film from 1987 called Sign of the Times?
I did not.
Really?
I did not. Not that I remember, anyway.
I just saw it a couple months ago at the New Beverly.
Yeah.
excellent.
Okay.
I'm a huge Prince fan.
Right.
But here's an interesting thing. Showtime just got the rights to the movie, and they'll be playing it on September 16th. Why so soon, Showtime?
That is odd.
Why so soon?
Maybe Prince didn't want it out there, and that's one of the things that has become available since his death.
Yeah. Oh, that might be it. Absolutely.
You know, same thing like with the streaming services. Now that he's gone, the family goes, hey, wait a minute. We're sitting on a lot of things that are income-making.
Yeah. All right. I believe you.
Did you get an accurate answer on
no,
that,
did I didn't. I appreciated it. Did I tell you guys about the Happy Time murders?
Yep, you mentioned
okay.
it. Yes.
All right.
Repeatedly.
All of these stars born today. August the 24th. WWE's Vince McMahon is 72. Dave Chappelle, 44. Chad Michael Murray is 36. Rupert Grint is 29. And LA King Center Anshe Kopitar is 30. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Chip, what do you got for us today?
Well, since Beer Mug is busy in Vegas, obviously drinking and
sure.
drinking and he's losing money.
He's part of our team coverage of the fight.
Sure. So he's not here to do the Hot Topic. So I'll be there today at the Los Cerritos Center. In Cerritos at the Hot Topic from 1 to 3 with the K-Rock Probo Team. Pick up your sticker, sign up for the, enter for the grand prize to see Green Day in your garage, which would be sweet.
Yeah, that's pretty
and
cool.
Tickets from row seats to the show in September. Plus, we'll have concert tickets for other K-Rock shows and other cool prizes. So come hang out.
Okay. Hot Topic in Cerritos from 1 till 3. Look for Little Chip and the K-Rock promo, guys. That'll be fun.
And your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness in the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, we're going to talk about this HBO hack. We're going to talk to Ben McCoo, who is the host of Cyber War on Viceland.
You love that show.
He knows everything about the internet and about hacking. And he's a fascinating guy, and it's a
can he get
story.
My money back from Robert Downey Jr.?
I do not believe that's possible, no. Brand new Internet Roundup. It's Friday, so we've got Keep It 100. We're going to talk to Dana White about the Mayweather-McGregor fight. And our man Beer Mug is in Vegas covering that as well and left us this message this morning at 4 a.m.
Listen here. It's Beer Mug, and I'm in the first night in Vegas. And I'm already lost $400. I hate gambling, man. But I love it, but I hate it. But I never learned my lesson, man. What the are we doing here? What the am I doing here? I need to make this money back.
No.
Why do I waste money on gambling when I could spend it on food? Seriously, I love you.
he's so disappointed in himself, and he's so angry at the world, but for some reason, he's able to save it at the end.
He's the right guy to cover the fight, though, in Vegas.
I think so.
And that's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.